welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. 866-901-ADAM. We're going to talk baby names for the first break, so call in and give your suggestions. My wife went to the doctor yesterday, and the babies have moved into the birthing position.
Ah, yes. Exciting.
Yes. The girls means they position their head downward, and the boy is in the praying lotus position, the karate kid.
Right.
He's was on the pylon. He has both hands out. He's on one foot. He's holding the right knee. No. Let's see. I got to turn around the MRI thing. Yeah, the left knee is up, and he's coiled. He's in what they call the coiled snake, the cobra.
Sure.
It's in the cobra position. Yeah. Well, the doctor said fetal, but I heard cobra.
Well, you know, if executed properly, there is no defense.
There's no. Once he goes into the kata, that's it. It's time to bring him out.
Unless the baby girl decides to sweep the leg.
Oh, yeah. If she goes for the sweep, the legal sweep. The femur to the bridge of the nose, perfectly legal, but you sweep the knee, you're out of the competition.
Well, the best thing about Kid 3 in the great trilogy, the Karate Kid trilogy, is Daniel-san, you know, he defeats Johnny and the rest of Cobra Kai. Then in 2, he travels with Miyagi over to Asia, and Miyagi confronts his past demons, you know, his
right.
arch rival from his youth. But then Daniel-san becomes embroiled with a rival of his own, and mm-hmm. the movie culminates with a fight to the death on a little island while the whole village watches mm-hmm. as they fight to the death. The other guy would have killed Daniel-san, but Daniel-san defeats him at the end and tweaks his nose and doesn't kill the guy. Then a couple months later, he comes back to the U.S. or a couple weeks later and gets embroiled with the Cobra Kai's founder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a Vietnam vet. His Vietnam buddy comes back to get vengeance on Miyagi and Daniel-san.
The best.
It's awesome.
A rich man, a self-made man who gives his life and his sizable wealth to stopping Daniel-san.
Right, yes. And so he tries to stop him. And then it culminates with Daniel-san back in the All-Valley point, half-point system. But he just fought to the death.
Yes.
And Daniel-san, I'm too scared. He can't fight in the point, half-point system.
Sure.
And Daniel-san, you just fought to the death, man.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Important to revisit those movies as often as possible.
Certainly. Richard?
Yeah.
You have names?
Okay. I'm talking to Adam, right?
Yes.
Okay, you're the man, Adam. Okay.
Thank you, Richard.
For your girl, for your daughter, mm-hmm. Dallas.
Mm. Kind of a stripper name.
True, but I mean, Vegas is already mentioned. I think Dallas kind of works a little bit better.
It's not bad, but it's one step from Cammy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's got Tammy, Cammy, kind of watch shows. But Dallas, not bad.
It's good, but what if you don't like, but if you hate like the Cowboys or something,
yeah.
That would be bad.
All right, so Dallas and what about...
For the boy.
What about the boy,
Adam. Okay. You know how you're kind of like thinking of going like an old school kind of Italian feel mm-hmm. for the name?
Mm-hmm.
Remo. R-E-M-O.
I like that.
Yeah.
Remo Corolla.
That's nice. A good... Yeah, that's a good name.
Here's how this works, Adam. If he had... Let's say he becomes a doctor or becomes a senator.
Uh-huh.
He's still a badass. He's Senator
right.
Remo Corolla.
Senator Remo.
And if he's a janitor...
Tough on crime.
And if he... Listen, and then if he's a janitor, mm-hmm. he's the badass janitor you don't mess with. He's the one that has... He's got the baseball bat in his cart.
He's the janitor that's left behind when the terrorists take over the school.
That's what I'm talking about.
Know what I mean? But he's the ex-Navy SEAL
right.
who got drummed out of the Corps because he wouldn't take any lip from a general because he left men behind during a covert operation and he cold-cocks the general. They drum him out of the Corps. Now by the way, when you get drummed out of the Corps, do you have to take the world's crappiest jobs? Now he's scraping corn out of a sieve that collects fecal matter. Like, well, he was a trained Navy SEAL. Could he maybe just get a job as a cop? No. Now he's working at a car wash, wringing rags. You know what I mean? They always have the world's worst job. And so it's weird because the guy's pretty intelligent and dynamic, and he's certainly disciplined. Otherwise, he would have never made it through Navy training, Navy SEAL training. But anyway, drummed out of the Corps. Now working as a janitor at the Louis Pasteur Middle School. Lily White kids. lily white kids and troublemakers, you know, snot-nosed 13-year-olds from privilege. Little Lord Fauntleroys. And they come in and that kid will pull his gum out of the mouth. You know, the cute blonde-haired kid with the spiked hair takes the gum out of the mouth, throws it on the ground. Pick it up, Remo. It's your job. Remo does his job. But Remo has another job, too. And we find out what that is when the terrorists try to take over the school. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What he does with that mop handle. You don't want to know.
Puts the ream in Remo.
That's where the training really comes out. That's not what he does with the mop handle, you pig. He fights with it like a fighting staff, you retard.
I like that. There's always
put
a weird,
it up, anybody.
It's always weird, too. Like, they put up with grief, and you don't know why. Like when the kid throws the gum on the floor.
Right.
Like, do something, Remo. Do something to that little kid. And Remo says something like, I quit caring a long time.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he's a drunk now, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
You sometimes find him in a saloon in the middle of the day. He's the only one, and there are no lights on. The only light coming in to the tavern.
Through the fan. Through the fan that's inexplicably mounted on the wall vertically.
Yeah.
That fan.
And the bartender says something, even though it's 2:30 in the afternoon, he's the only one in there. And the bartender says, like, haven't you had enough? And I was like, when I need my mama, I'll call Tucson.
Right.
Now give me another one.
Right.
Cut the lip.
I think it's one of these things where he goes, it's a little early for tequila, isn't it, Remo? It's too late for beer. That's one of those things. One of those cool lines, you're not exactly sure what it means, but you go with it. Wow. I guess it is. What is it? 1240? 1250?
Remo, we need you. The government needs you again.
What? I stopped caring a long time ago. Yeah, that's where he comes back with that line. Oh, he's back, though. And then there's the part where there's the guy on the outside. This is always the stupid lieutenant commander, the general, the guy who's heading up the thing, is always going. By the way, it always frightens me that there's always some guy on the outside who goes, we got to call the napalm strike and torch the whole place. Wait a minute, we got a guy on the inside. Who? And then they pull the guy's. Then this is the part where they pull the guy's records. Remo Dukemeister. They see Special Forces op, Grenada, Vietnam, three Purple Crosses, three Congressional Medals of Honor, a ninth degree Taekwondo black belt. You know, you're like, oh, he's on the inside. I don't trust him. He's a maverick. I say we call in the airstrike and torch this place now. Now give him time. Yeah.
I said, but Remo's in there. I said, drop the napalm.
That's right. Now, a lot of running.
An evil ally always.
A lot of slow motion running. If you're ever, by the way, if you're ever just running and all of a sudden you break into slow motion, be prepared.
Something bad.
That means there's going to be explosion behind you.
That's going to propel you about 20
feet
forward.
Don't worry. The fire will just push you further into the cardboard boxes.
Or into the water safely.
Oh, yeah, yeah, water, too. And then we'll see. Yeah,
we'll wave overhead.
Melody? Oh, please, that scared me. Melody?
Yeah.
What's up?
So I have a couple of names. All right. Like them.
Mm-hmm.
Camden for the boy, and then Torrance for the girl.
Mm. Now, is Camden like Camden Yard?
Like Camden, yeah.
A little soft for a guy, isn't it?
Did you think about Camden Yard?
Actually, I thought it, yeah, exactly, right away.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, it sounded like I reminded you of Camden Yard.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was a cute name. I saw apartments that had that name, so I thought it was cute.
Oh, you saw an apartment that had that name. You're a horrible liar, by the way.
I do it for a living.
You lie for a living?
Collections.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Camden for the guy?
And then Torrance for the girl.
Tory's not bad.
Tory's not bad, although Torrance is the name of a sort of crappy city in Los Angeles.
Ew, I would think Tory's like, ew, white trash.
Yeah, well, I guess Tory's spelling isn't helping any.
Like, Tory, the one that was in the trailer? Yeah.
Well, the problem with Tory is you do have this sort of white trash Tory, but then the only other Tory I can think of has a house that's 54,000 square feet across from the Playboy Mansion. So that sort of evens out all the trailer Tories, you know?
I still think it's there.
All right. So you're going Torrance and Victoria in Camden. Let's see what
Ace,
we got
by the
here.
Way,
yes.
Just reset real fast.
Mm.
Oh, you're yeah. letting a listener name one of your two twins. It's too much for you and Lynette, your wife, to handle naming both. Mm-hmm. And so what's the front runner right now, would you say? Give us like the top three or maybe five.
David Allen Greer has Octania. I like it because it's a fuel additive. And it also...
That'll be cute.
Yeah. Caller, let's see, we got Dashiell. Nice.
I like that.
Sargento.
I like
Sarge.
That one a lot.
Sarge Corolla.
Awesome.
It's cute.
Sarge is solid. You could do a hell of a lot worse than Sarge. Problem is Sargento's not that great, but Sarge is good. The problem with a lot of the short names, you have to hurry up and shorten them because when you hear the long version, they're not very good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't understand why people feel compelled to give the longer, more formal name.
Yeah.
If, for instance, you like Sarge. Listen, it's your world. It's just Sarge. Name it Sarge.
Yeah,
don't name the kid Sargento.
It's not like there's going to be eight other kids in the preschool named Sarge
right.
Corolla.
Exactly.
Tuffy's nice.
Yeah.
Bodie. I watched Point Break last night for the 55th time. Only 7/8 of it, by the way, but Bodie. Good name. Dashiell, let's see, Samson, Alfie, Vroom. I don't
Alfie's
know about
not
that one.
Bad.
Republican Richard Martin wanted me to call the boy Lord. Speed, the Ed wanted me to call him Speed. Then Ella, Rita, Daisy. Daisy Fuentes wanted me to call him Daisy. Daisy is kind of a nice name.
It's I like that very
name,
much.
It's a cute name, but I don't think you can take Daisy seriously if she's representing you in court.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Although she's not
going to be an attorney.
Never know.
Listen, if one of your parents is a sloth and the other one is a turtle, you're not going to be fast.
What
do
is
you
your
know what I mean? I mean, my wife's not that bright, and I'm not very good at school. It's really, kid doesn't stand a chance.
She could rebel.
Are you going to make the kids? Are you going to say, like, I came up the hard way, and so are you kids, and you're going to have to pay your own way?
Yeah. You're not going to be going to the elite private school that Daddy Remo washes down on a daily basis. You're going to public school. I don't know. I was looking at a USA Today thing that said where the amount of math you get in high school, which would sort of be a precursor to where you go in college. I think it's the people, 83% of the people that take calculus went off to college, and then like 63% that took pre-calculus or something. It went down to the bottom, which was 8%, which was pre-algebra. I didn't take pre-algebra. I took high school math. It was called math.
Plain math.
Yeah, you understand. Like, I go, what kind of math did you take in high school? I took math. Yeah. And people go, well, what kind of math? And I go, no, math. Just math. You understand? Just math. I'm the only guy I know who's never had an algebra class.
How could that possibly be? By the way, that's how our school should be. I've made the case before. Algebra, why it ever gets to that is outrageous to me. It should be multiplication tables, maybe long division, and then that's enough. That's more than enough math for us.
It's all you need. I just, I was a horrible student, and, you know, there was, you know, I went to North Hollywood High. There was 4,000 students, and they weren't exactly trying to fast-track everyone to Stanford. It was just, look, you're a crappy student. Instead of taking algebra and getting a D, why don't you just take basic math and get a C+, you walk around with your head held high. Demetrius?
Yeah.
You have baby names?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Got for the little boy, you're going to be O'Shea.
O'Shea.
Yeah.
I like that.
And for the girl, I mean, it really don't matter, you know.
Sure.
But Shaniqua, you know, you could always use that one.
It's nice.
Shaniqua. Yeah, Shaniqua. You know, I'll tell you the thing about Shaniqua. Shaniqua has become a sort of a punchline when you're coming up with black names.
You know, I mean, it's a girl, man. I mean, come on.
You don't care. Expendable.
There is no racial bigotry here.
She's going to be someone's bitch or hoe anyway. I'll probably turn her out about 11. So you start bringing in some money.
Is there, by the way, let me ask this. Is there ever been a white kid named either Demetrius or Shaniqua? And are there any white names that no black... There's never been a white kid named Demetrius or Shaniqua. Are there any white names that no black
Adolf.
Person's ever been named. That's a good one, right?
That's a good
probably one.
That name's out.
I'm trying to think. I think it's been long enough.
You think Adolf can come back?
I think I can bring it back. I think if the right celebrity names their son Adolf,
it's time.
I can bring it back. It's time.
By the way, there's a Demetrius. The great thing, there was a basketball player at Pitt when I was growing up who went by, he was Demetrius Gore, but he went by Me Gore.
Me Gore. That's
I like that.
I like it. I have a buddy. Dave has the buddy too. He knows same man. He went to high school with a black girl named Nachilla. And I defy anyone to top Nachilla. For real. Black girl names. Now, sure, you can go Sizzaline, but that's made up. Nachilla. That's an awesome name. And he said she was a big gal, too, which made it even better. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. So many decisions to make. Give a little thought during the commercial break, Dave. See if there's a black name that a white person has never been named and a white name that a black person has never been named. And you do, you know, you think of your Kevins and your Tims and things like that, but then you go through the NBA and you realize, sure. Oh, there's Kevin Garnett, there's Tim Duncan, and there's a lot of names that sound very white, your Chris's and things like that, but then you realize, oh, there's plenty of brothers with those names. You really have to think about it a little bit. I think Adolf's at the top of my list. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Want to talk to Adam? Call him at 866-901-ADAM.
I never got past high school math, so I'm not sure what pi is exactly, but any equation that involves dessert, I'm in for.
Well, Adam, my friends, will never
run out of opinions.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Sweetie?
Hi, Pumpkin.
Lovely Lynette. Right. Have you heard any that you like so far? Vroom?
I like the Vroom, and I like the Octavia.
Differentialine?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds good when he's calling him from the front porch.
Vegas Corolla.
Yeah, pretentious.
Name the girl after the mother, Lynette. Mm-hmm. Name the boy after the father, Hot Black Pool Guy.
Mm-hmm. That was, who was that?
Your wife, Lynette?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lampanelli.
Lisa Lampanelli, that's the one. Yeah.
I like that your wife calls you Pumpkin.
Yeah, well, I started calling her that, and she just threw it back at me.
She's cute.
She's a pet named Mirror. She just reflects it back on me. What do we got going today? Dave's got a list coming up. We have the No Lie MRI guy, Joel Huizenga, is coming in. I've said that we could revolutionize the world with lie detectors. These things have been around for 50 years. They're 90-something percent accurate, and those are the ones you hook up to your nipples. Now they have ones you just put your head through a functional MRI machine. They see what happens to your brain. You want to find out if Brusca's actually a lesbian? I know he's rumored to be a lesbian, but we'll find out if he's actually a lesbian. You know how? We put him in one of these functional MRI machines. We show him pictures of naked women, and we see his frontal lobe turn bright orange.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian. That can determine that sort of thing?
Yes.
Fantastic.
No, that's what it'll do. You put you into one of these machines, show women pictures of kittens and toddlers, show guys pictures of Evel Knievel and pornography, and watch the different centers of your brain light up.
As a matter of fact, there is just, didn't a study just come out like in the last 24 hours?
Yes, there's a study that straight men's brains are very similar to lesbian brains.
Interesting.
We'll get into that later.
Brusca, you're in a world of hurt. Because
the lines are very blurred already with me, Brusca.
You know we're not going to go the straight guy route once your brain matches that. We're working the lesbian angle. All I'm saying is, just like the cancer-sniffing dogs I came up with many years ago, I am a modern-day Nostradamus. These things will come to fruition in my lifetime. There will be attack crows. There'll be heated sofas. All these things will come, and I will get zero credit for it. But mark my words. Look, everyone wants to know, Barry Bonds, he's a creep. Why? He took steroids. Yeah, but he doesn't know. We'll find out. Won't we? We'll find out in one afternoon.
Yeah.
He says he didn't know what he was taking. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Now, none of these people will take the test. When you tell OJ, yeah, we're doing a live pay-per-view thing. We'll put you in the functional MRI. I don't think so. Oh, they'll give you one reason or another why they're not going to do it. Although people that aren't guilty and are being falsely accused of things can't wait to do these things. You do the math. You know what I mean? When Barry Bonds says, no, I'm not going to take any lie detector tests. When OJ says that, when Robert Blake or whoever says, I'm not going to take it. Oh, they'll give you 1,001 reasons. But imagine your wife was being killed or while you were just sitting home napping and everyone thinks you're a pariah. Everyone in society thinks you killed her. You couldn't get to that lie detector fast enough, could you? Because you know good and well you were just lying around. Although for me, it'd be one of those weird dilemmas because I probably was masturbating. And they'd be like, now what were you doing? All right, that's enough.
I'll not suffer this indignity.
Yeah, it'd be something weird and embarrassing. That's right. So the point is we're going to get the guy in because I feel like, you know, look, we put the chick who says she was raped by the Duke Lacrosse thing. Everybody goes right in. Poo. There's no, I mean, pow. That's something different. Poo, something else. Pow. So, such, you know, there's just a little difference between poo and pow, but they're worlds apart. The thing is everyone wants to know. No one ever feels satisfied. The Duke lacrosse players get off. The black community's upset because they say it's racism. We'll never know. She's sticking to her story. Then they take it to the grave, and then no one ever knows.
Well, listen, I can't give this any further validation than to say this idea. I say let's put all our research money into it. In fact, I'm willing to give up my dreams of teleportation. For the time being, until we solve this.
We do. We put the Earth's scientists, well, not the Earth. We don't need Mexico and parts of Africa and stuff like that. Let's be honest. We take the smart countries. We put their scientists. I don't even know if, in fact, they have scientists in some of these countries. It's unclear. We put the smart country scientists on these things. Well, let me tell you why I say smart country scientists. Because, you know, when you're trying to spitball ideas and there's one guy, Big Tad, in the room, and he interrupts all the time with lame ideas? It does more harm than good, right?
Yes.
So we take the smart country scientists, we put them all in one room to hammer this thing out, and that's it. 8 months from now, we have an irrefutable machine that tells you guilty or innocent, and that's it. And if you don't take it, it's just like, it's like the breathalyzer when you get pulled over. If you refuse to take the breathalyzer, it's guilty.
I really do love it. And by the way, you know, the chubby lesbian Brusca, the chubby part of the equation, you know, isn't being helped by the fact that he is feeding his face in the middle of the show. He's eating baked, some sort of pastry, shoving it in his mouth.
Don't believe me. No, I know.
Not sharing
chubby
with anyone.
Or a lesbian.
You could share it, Brusca.
Look, I've done the math here, Brusca, and I'm sorry to have to bring this up.
He's a lesbian. He's got a mouthful of muffin.
Your wife has sized you up. You guys have been married for, what, 6 months now?
A little bit more.
9 months, 10 months.
Yeah.
She basically did the math, and she said, I'm not going to be able to make 40 years of this. 8 years is about the max. Now, she's a good woman, and she's not going to stab you with a crocheting needle in your sleep. But what is she going to do is slowly clog your arteries.
My muffin.
Yes.
Ice cream for dinner last night.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
You might be right.
With a bacon chaser.
That's right. The point is, yeah, she makes him a bacon necklace, and he just eats off of it the entire, usually gets to the last 4 or 5 strips by the 10 o'clock hour. Point is she knows if she feeds you right, you're gone 7, 8 years. She could do that standing on her head. I mean, that's easy time. And she collects, and there's no insurance investigator in the world that can ever accuse her.
Brusca, I could try and stop her, but I love that bacon.
Yeah, that's my point.
Brusca says to his wife, she gives him a salad, like, honey, is it supposed to have 8 sticks of butter in it?
Just eat it. You know, it's the things you love that hurt you.
Jeff?
Yeah.
What's up?
Got the names for you.
I see what your names are, and I'm in love with them. Go ahead, tell us.
TiVo for the boy and Tiva for the girl.
TiVo.
Oh.
TiVo Corolla. That's good.
It should be an homage to what's important to you in the world.
It is. It's your dad's love. And, you know, and back in the day, you know, they would give these, they'd have these names like Schumann and stuff like that, and these names that sort of blacksmith, you know, what your family did, whether they were jewelers or blacksmiths,
right.
They kind of gave that. I'm a TiVo man. That's what I do. That's what my kids should be named. That's a strong name.
I've got a concern, though. What if the technology becomes outmoded and it's like having a kid named Beta?
Yeah, it's a good point. 8-track Corolla.
Right.
Good point.
Doesn't work.
Still good, though, because TiVo stands alone. TiVo Corolla, you could see him entering the octagon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's
TiVo
like,
Corolla. You know what I mean? Mixed martial arts specialist, TiVo Corolla.
It is good, but it's like naming your kid Willie Mays, you know, because you're making.
I love that name.
You're giving him a lot to live up to. You know, like, he'll never be as good as real TiVo.
Yeah, you made you know? Good point.
You
yeah,
we'll number 18 with a Coke.
Dennis?
What?
Yes.
Are you driving through somewhere right now?
I am driving. I'm the Jack in the Box. You want anything?
Yeah. Give me two of those tacos. I love those tacos.
Those tacos
are delicious. I have them for lunch all the time.
So underrated. Those tacos are delicious from Jack in the Box.
Well, I'll tell you why those tacos are great. Because they don't resemble tacos in any way, shape, or form. They just happen to be shaped like a taco. But they taste like something different. It's like a Twinkie isn't a pastry. It's a Twinkie. A Jack-in-the-Box taco is not a taco. It's a Jack-in-the-Box taco. And if you're in the mood for one of those, now, you don't need to be in the mood for a taco to be in the mood for a Jack-in-the-Box taco. You need to be in the mood for a Jack-in-the-Box taco. It hits the spot.
Oh, I've been told by a Mexican friend, your old pal, Adam De La Pena, has told me that, in fact, that is a more accurate, authentic kind of taco. They deep fry the shell, all the stuff in it with the shell.
Only
the
in that
thing.
It's worse for you. I mean, the Mexicans that I've spoken to are insulted by, you know, us not deep frying, you know, the soft taco with the cilantro and the lean beef and everything. This is an outrage to them.
Yes.
Yes, it's like Brusca's wife does not like these tacos. All right. Go ahead, Dennis. What is the number? What is number 18? Or should we just ask Tad? He hasn't memorized.
Number 18 is a meaty breakfast burrito.
Uh huh.
Good way to start the day.
With a hash brown, and I get the soda instead of the coffee.
Smart.
Yeah.
All right.
6:30.
6:30 in the morning. What do you do? Construction?
I run my own company. I do an embroidery business.
You run your own company. So, but do you work out of your house?
No, not at all.
All right, so you're on your way to work.
Correct.
And you stop off and you have a Coke, hash browns, and a meaty breakfast burrito.
You got it.
And you do that every morning?
No, sometimes I'll stop at 7-Eleven, I'll get an iced tea and maybe a pastry.
Wow. And are you fat?
Not at all. 6'2", 200 pounds.
All right. Well, enjoy. Yeah. How old are you?
30,
35. Okay. All right. Yeah. Give me your names, Dennis.
Hey, I've got a name that I'm from Detroit. I've never heard a black guy named Carlton, with the exception of that character from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Interesting.
And I think that they named that guy Carlton because he acts white.
Mm-hmm. All right. Nice job. I like that.
All right.
All right. Say hi to Jack for me.
You got it.
I used to, we had a Jack in the Box by my house when I was a kid. That's how it all works. Whatever's closest, that's whatever you get. That's how stupid white people
know,
do it.
Yeah, I know, but you know what they didn't have when I was growing up? But now these 99-cent menus that they have at all the fast food places, it's no wonder everybody's morbidly obese now.
Yeah, fast food is one thing that has not gone up in price at all. Burger, tacos, whatever. Everything was $1 when I was a kid, and gas was 75 cents, and now it remains $1, and gas is $4. Mm-hmm. Everything else, you know, I mean, it's crazy. A house in the neighborhood that Jack in the Box was in North Hollywood when I was growing up was 65 grand, 75 grand. When a breakfast Jack was 99 cents. Now, the breakfast Jack's still 99 cents. The house is 1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. I don't know how that's stabilized. I don't know how that's the only thing in life that hasn't gone up. But you don't have to make any money at all in order to eat anymore. I mean, if you could go panhandle your way to three good squares a day, no problem. Just going out front with a cup. All right, Dave.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Are you saying Dave? Dave Damashek?
I'm saying Dave Damashek.
I don't know. I get confused. You just gave me an idea for a new list, or the caller did with the taco thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to come up with a list. The best fast food items, actual ones, you know, just specific tacos from Jack in the Box. You know what else is good? The double cheeseburger from Wendy's.
Mm. Yes, I didn't grow up near one of those, so I didn't never
really?
Had the square patty.
You're kidding me.
I had one once about a year ago. First time in my life.
No.
Yes.
The second biggest city in America?
No Wendy's growing up out here. I have McDonald's.
Holy hell.
Jack in the Box, Carl's Jr., no Wendy's.
I grew up in California. I had one, like in my life. Yeah.
What?
How could it be Wendy's.
The big? It's like the third. It's like the NBA of fast food. If the NFL and Major League Baseball are McDonald's and Burger King, the third biggest is.
Right.
It's sort of reasonable, though. It's not a huge California thing.
Let me tell you something. The Corollas didn't have a lot of range, number one. We didn't get around. You know what I mean? Everyone had crappy cars, and there was no range. So if the food wasn't within walking distance, you didn't get to it. And there was no Wendy's growing up around here.
Interesting.
All right, Dave, you have the aforementioned list for us?
Yes, I have a different list, but sort of related.
All right, what is it?
Today, I will be discussing the best potato preparations.
Mm-hmm.
This is in honor of the deaf rat guy. Maverick's on his way in here. He's fond of, you know, I think you've heard him mention once or twice. He resolves most of his conflicts with his potato gun.
Right.
Yeah.
It does.
Potato diplomacy.
Now, he puts the raw potato in there. Sometimes it's the russet. Sometimes it's the Yukon gold.
Mm-hmm.
Once you now break them down and start cooking them and preparing them, there's so many delicious ways to have a potato.
Mm-hmm.
I will now give you the best of.
All right. Now, is the last one going to be the best one, or will you announce it?
Are you going to announce best
to worst? I'm going to announce it.
All right. Right.
The votes have been tabulated, and I will announce.
All right.
All right. Shall we begin?
Shall. We shall, yes.
All right. Let's do this thing. The first on the list. Baked.
Huh?
Baked potato.
Yeah.
Listen.
It's
healthy. Throw some butter in there, or if you're in Bruska's case, throw in three tubs of butter, some salt.
Lard.
Some people like the sour cream and chives. There are a lot of different ways you can go with it. I'm conventional. A little bit of butter, a little bit of salt.
Let me, you mind if I give everyone a tip on this?
Sure.
The butter's great in the potato, but it's there for flavor, but it's really there to make it moist. A baked potato, especially a large one, can get dried out. I'll tell you what's nice. Take your baked potato, take a pad of butter, let it melt in there, and then go take some skim milk and put a few splashes of skim milk over it. It gives it the same effect.
I've
well,
never
that's
had
how they
that.
Make mashed potatoes with milk and cream.
Now, what you do is you add the skim milk, and you don't need nearly as much butter. You put the pad of butter, you end up putting more and more butter in it, because you use the skim milk, it makes it moist, and you can't tell the difference with the butter flavoring from the pad of butter that's already
I've
melted in there.
I've never tried that. What I do, though, is I like to take the pads of butter, or a couple slices of the butter, and I put them into the baked potato, and then I close the baked potato back up.
Mm.
You
yeah.
see?
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
Then it melts. I let the heat do the work for me. Save my precious energy to eat.
Sure.
Shovel it into my face.
Sure.
Next on the list, Teresa just mentioned it. Mashed.
Mm,
tell you what, throw a little garlic in there. More and more restaurants
garlic,
are getting creative with what they mix in there.
Wasabi.
Horseradish.
The wasabis
wasabi,
are good.
Wasabi, all delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Lyonnaise.
Yeah,
onion. So, fried up in the pan.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice with the steak.
Yeah. What else are they? Is there another name for those potatoes, or is it always just Lyonnaise? You're just talking in a skillet,
sliced up
in a skillet with the onions.
Unrefined, the more unrefined types, like myself from Pittsburgh, PA, will call those like that's a variation on a home fry, essentially.
Yeah.
I think.
All right,
unless I'm mistaken. Next, au gratin, cheesy and delicious.
Yeah, hard to go wrong.
Yeah, very nice. Very
hard to go
nice.
Wrong with au gratin.
Finally. French fries.
Mmm.
French fries.
Wow, didn't see that one coming.
That's number one?
Of course not. No. That's one of the nominees.
Now,
and
we open
no
the envelope.
And with no further ado.
Oh. We open the envelope.
Can barely
big envelope.
Contain myself.
Yeah.
The best potato preparation. 2006. French fries.
Yeah.
Not surprising.
No.
Which brings up a whole nother list. The best kind of French fry. You have your curly fries.
Yeah.
You have your steak fries.
Mm-hmm.
You have your shoestring fries.
Mm-hmm.
Your wedge.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm.
Sometimes they cut them and they leave some skin on there.
Not a fan of that.
That's sort of like the wedge.
Yeah. You know what I find to be the best? Just the old-fashioned, thicker-cut, serrated thicker-cut burger-type fries.
I do know what you mean. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah.
The waffle. You know,
yes.
Sometimes those can be good. What?
Well, wait a minute.
So with no further ado,
best
kind of French fry.
Wow.
Wow, it's like a Russian dolls.
Yeah,
they tabulated the votes quickly.
It's never ending.
Shoestring.
Shoestring fries. No. Better than cheese fries? Cheese fries are better than shoestring.
Don't you me. I'm not going to be by anybody here.
Dwayne?
Yes.
You have a name that no black person has ever been named or no white person has ever been named?
No black that I know of.
All right.
Skippy.
Oh,
Skippy.
That's good. Muffy, Skippy.
Yeah, that's good. All that 80s frat and sorority movie stuff. Not bad.
I had a couple names for kids.
Okay.
Classic Greek virility.
All right.
Testicles. And if it's a girl, Fallopia.
Ooh, Testicles.
Beautiful.
Testicles Corolla. That's good. I like that.
And the other one, I guess, would maybe Utera.
Utera. No, I like Fallopia.
Yeah, Fallopia's better.
That's good.
Lovely.
Testicles and Fallopia.
Here's a name that no white... Here's a very straightforward name that I can't think of any black guy who's ever had this name. Joel.
Yeah. Joel. Yeah, you think that, and then you'll start, you'll find some athlete or somebody who's Joel. So sad, though, that when you think of famous black people, we can only go to the ranks of the NBA and the NFL. I mean, truthfully, that's where your mind goes, right? When you go, Joel, has there ever been a black guy? There's a guy who played for the Hawks in 73. He was six man. Your mind immediately just goes right to the NBA.
I went to the Supreme Court, but then it was Clarence Thomas.
We will take ourselves a quick break. We have Kathy Griffin coming up on the show. Oh, my God. Just wind her up and watch her go. Dave Attell, one of the funniest, I will say the funniest stand-up comedian working. I have seen Dave Attell's live act. None better. Def Frat guy coming up. No Lie MRI guy. Big Tad. News, sports. All after this.
Tad's chunky. A chunky flunky. Tad's chunky, chunky. A chunky flunky. Fat ass.
Big fat Tad makes a break room scene.
Reading the paper, not doing a thing.
Sits on his ass
like a tub of goo.
Great big head with a low IQ.
D cup boo. Just like a lady.
Not so smart and filled with gravy.
Tad's chunky. A chunky flunky.
Wow.
Tad's chunky, chunky. A chunky flunky.
My new favorite song.
I like it.
Is that from Rich? Thanks, Rich.
No, the Beastie Boys.
I used to like you.
Sorry.
Well, Tad is in studio because Tad had LASIK surgery.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Tad wore glasses, but normally you wore contacts, right?
Yeah, I wore contacts a lot, and then I turned to my glasses. I got this new killer set of glasses, and then...
Mm-hmm.
I just got done with it. I got done trying to put those contacts in my eyes in the morning because they were like hurting and everything, and the glasses were starting to bug me. And
saline solution seems to be a big deal to people that have contact lenses. I could remember once in a while Kimmel back in the old days would flop out at my apartment, but it was a big deal. I can't sleep over. Why not? Just crash on the sofa. I don't have saline solution. So it was a big deal, and I always thought, well... Why not get 4 or 5 tubs of the saline stuff and just throw it in the glove box of the car and throw one at home and spread them around a little bit? But I don't know. Is it that big a deal?
Yeah, well, sometimes the contacts, like if you move your eyes a certain way, they'll like jam up inside your eyeballs and it takes a while to get them out. And then sometimes they just pop out and I was fed up with it.
All right. So not for you.
Not for me.
And so you got the LASIK procedure.
Yeah.
And they did it for free, so you're going to give them a plug, right?
Yes, the Access Eye Institute in Irvine.
Mm-hmm. And it worked out for you?
So far, so good.
Your seeing is 20/20 now?
As of right now, it's 10/20 in my left eye and 20/30 in my right, but they should go 20/20 after a certain amount of time. They're still healing.
I have no idea how any of those number things work. Like,
I thought it was just two numbers, 20 and 20, right? If you have perfect vision.
20/20 is supposed to be perfect vision, but then sometimes you'll hear people go, well, you know, before the LASIK surgery, I was 24,000 in my right eye, and then I was 20,250,000. And I'm always like, well, if 20/30 is bad, then what do you just see pink elephants at 20,1500 now? And how do they, what is the 20? Is it at 20 feet? I'd really love to know that.
The other side of it, too, is people brag, but you don't realize they're bragging. Like, I got 20/10. Oh, right. Is that good?
Yeah.
I could be. You can't be. If you're not 20/10, you can't be in the Air Force.
See, like, my eyesight before the surgery, the clock up there on the wall, I would not be able to read that right now, or any of the stuff that's on your...
But that's just because you're too stupid, not because you can't see it. You don't tell time.
Really? We're going to go there?
Well, I think we did.
Why does Tad always sound like he's been on a three-day bender?
Because he's been on a four-day bender.
Stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Hey, Brisket, ask Angie how the 20/20 thing mean. What is 20?
It must mean 20 feet.
Is it 20 feet? Is this how you read the chart at 20 feet? And then how's one eyeball 20/54?
You can read, it's from 20 feet away, the first number. The next number is the size of the font, the point. So if it's 2,500, you read the biggest one from 20 feet away. If it's 20/10, you can read the little tiny one from 20 feet away.
Brian, when did you change your name to Angie?
Can I ask Tad, how was the LASIK? Was it fast? Did it hurt? Were you scared?
It was about 8 minutes on each eye. They numb up the eye, and then it's very trippy because you're awake through the whole thing, and they have you look at this like flashing green light, and then the doctor, Dr. James Johnson, who did the surgery on me, he walks you through the steps, and you're just watching the flap over.
You just watch, and you're looking at the green light.
Yeah, and then you see the laser just go, and then he says this to you. He goes, "All right, you're gonna smell something burning."
Oh, that's your soul.
I said, "That's my eyeball, man."
Yep.
But
when the procedure is done, you see perfectly, but you're into Scientology.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. It's a side effect.
Me and Tomcat are hanging out right now.
Big Tad.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you stand back 20 feet from the eye chart we put up on the wall and see if you can read it just to test your new eyesight, your new vision. You're going to want to use the microphone that Brusca provides for you that he should have swung.
It will smell vaguely of brisket.
Do you not know where you put
it? I'm not going to look at it until
I want to get him close so we can read it.
You can send me back farther.
If this little test goes well, then maybe after that you can go take a look at yourself in a mirror and
farther?
Do something like that.
I can go farther.
Step back half a step.
I can go.
All right, go ahead and see if you can read that eye chart from the distance you're at.
All right, B-I-G.
Mm-hmm.
I know where this is going. T-A-D.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I-S-A-F-A-T. S W E A T Y P. That's where I see. I see you.
Yeah, if you get to the part, if you get to the made in China part, that you've gone too far.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. P I G P L E A S E Q.
Brusca, so clever. Starts it with Big Tad.
Yeah, he would never have imagined.
He's never
going
to catch on to this one. He starts it with his name.
You end with the joke.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the very last one I can't read.
Right. All right.
But I can read, yeah.
I can tell you what it says.
What does it say?
Please quit, you fat ass.
Okay. All right. Now it's getting cruel. Point is, Big Tad got
himself. Position, heal thyself.
He got himself.
Oh.
You got himself a free LASIK surgery. Give the plug out for the place one more time.
All right. It's the Access Eye Institute in Irvine. The number is 877-ACCESS-EYE, A-X-I-S-E-Y-E, or go to their website at goflapless.com. Thank you, everybody over there, by the way. They were very nice.
All right. Let me just talk to Mike real fast. Mike?
Yeah?
You think you went to high school with me?
Junior high, I think.
Junior high?
Yeah.
All right.
You went to Walter Reed, right?
Yep.
Yeah. What year did you graduate? I graduated 82.
Oh, I graduated in 79 or 80. 79.
Oh, from high school?
No.
No, from the school. Junior. Well, what school?
Okay, well, I graduated high school in 82.
Oh, okay. Well, then you jumped back.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. A lot of people do that. So I graduated in 82, too. So maybe we did. Who'd you have for shop?
Okay, well, I only went to that school for like three-quarters part of the year, and I was an aide for a PE teacher named Mr. Walters.
Sure. Mr. Walters, yeah. Mr. Hensley, Mr. Sapanzi.
Because I was from Vegas.
Mr. Walters had his donkey squad.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, it was back before all this politically correct BS, you know. If you were a spaz or a screw-up, you got put in the donkey squad.
Exactly. And I have a funny story I wanted to tell you to, like, what extent this guy, this piece of work...
Mr. Walters. Yeah.
PE teacher was. I had this deal with my dad, right? Because when we got our report cards, we'd have to go around and have the teacher give us our grade, and then we'd take it home, correct?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had a deal. I was going to get a motorcycle, a dirt bike from my dad, because we just moved up there to Studio City.
If you got good grades. Yeah.
Right. I had to get all A's and B's, right?
Yeah.
And the classes I was worried about were English and algebra. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are the only ones I really had any trouble with. And so I worked really hard, and I got myself all A's and B's. And then the last class of the day was Mr. Walters. I was his aide, just mm-hmm. a PE aide. I mean, you know, yeah. that's a gimme. Usually you get an A.
Sure.
He gives me a C-U-U.
Yeah. He used to like giving my buddy Ray an ASS. That was his favorite thing. Like Old Hopper, kind of buzz cut. He was like an ex-Marine. And he'd always do this thing where you'd hang out. You'd get the troublemakers like me would get thrown in the donkey squad all the time. And you'd get minus points that you had to work off after school. And he'd say, Corolla, four off. And I'd go, but Mr. Walters, that's six off. But Mr. Walters, eight off and back to the corral. The corral were benches that were made up into a square that the stupid spazzy donkey kids would have to sit in shame. It was a simpler time. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. News and sports coming up after this. Also, our no-lie MRI guy will get to the bottom of this, but I believe I will revolutionize not only this country, society, when I figure out when we replace the cumbersome court system with the MRI, the MRI machine, the no-lie MRI machine. Also, Deaf Frat Guy, comedian Dave Attell, Kathy Griffin, all coming up.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin, and you're listening to the devil-loving Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM, and then go pray.
The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Lights Out Tony, I weigh 327 pounds, I'm 5 feet 11 inches tall, and I carry it better than most. I'm trying to diet to improve my health, but I crave sweets. My boss insists on putting a candy dish right above my computer monitor, directly in front of me. I have tried moving it out of my range of vision, but he moves it back again. I have talked to him about it, and he just laughed. I need my job and can't afford to lose it. Do you have a clever way I can get the point across? Constantly tempted in Canton, Ohio.
Dear Tempted, the real problem isn't your boss. It's your compulsive eating. But it appears your boss has a sadistic sense of humor. On lunch breaks, in your other break time, get out of the office and walk. Also, use not touching the candy as a way of showing the man who's the boss.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Sage. I got a boxing catalog from Ringside that has him on the cover It was from December, and it says Seasons Beatings. Wow, that's aggressive but funny at the same time. Picture him dressed up as Santa Claus ready to beat some ass.
Same title on the cover of December's gay magazine.
That's
gay
right, honcho.
Right.
All righty, where were we? First, somebody has the answer to our 2020 dilemma. Mary?
Hello?
You can explain how the 2020 eyesight thing works?
I sure can.
Go right ahead.
Okay, what it is at 20/20, it's what the average person sees at 20 feet, standing at 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 20/10 vision, you can see at 20 feet what the average person would need to stand at 10 feet to see.
Uh-huh.
And the further the number goes down, the worse the eyesight is, obviously. So the difference in having it in different eyes is your eyes can adjust differently. You can have
right.
all the astigmatism in one eye, making it different, making it so you have a different vision. It can see.
Boring.
This is damn exciting.
I get bored at the answers to my questions. But so if you're 20/10, you see at 20 feet what most people see at 10 feet.
Correct.
And if you're so it's worse to be 25.
Yeah.
Right. And the lower it goes. But
yeah.
then how do people when
no,
they
it's
say
actually no. the higher it
it's
goes.
The other right. other way. Other way.
Yeah.
2400 is bad.
2400 is bad.
Miserable.
Yeah, you see. All right, that's right. So 2010 is good.
It's excellent. You could be a fighter pilot.
Excellent.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, Mary.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You heavy set woman?
No, I'm not.
Most women that possess knowledge are heavy set, I find.
I'm just a nurse, that's
right.
all.
Okay.
All right.
Except for my family. My family's just heavy set.
And they don't possess knowledge.
No.
You believe there's a correlation, then?
There's definitely a correlation. Yes. I'll explain the male side, the schnoz to brains quotient, too. But that'll be on Friday. All right, Teresa, you ready to rock?
Yes.
It is now time to do the news with Teresa Strasser.
Zacharias Moussaoui is back in the news. Yesterday, he withdrew his guilty plea, saying that he was lying about his involvement in the attacks of 9/11. A judge quickly dismissed the request. According to federal law, a plea cannot be revoked after sentencing.
I think at a certain point, when these guys realize they're out of the limelight, and now they're just going to spend 23 out of 24 hours every day in solitary confinement, and actually, now that I think about it, I'm sort of glad he's alive and going to spend 23 out of 24 hours in solitary confinement. Now they go nuts, and they have information. All of a sudden, I'll tell you where the other bodies are. They want to be brought back in. That's what I loved most about Ted Bundy. At a certain point, he got desperate, and he's like, hey, there's more bodies. I can tell you where they are. And they're like, meh, we'll just kill you now, thanks. And they just fried him. Moussaoui did the real damage to his case a few weeks back when he yacked about, he bragged about wanting to fly a fifth plane into the White House and being part of it. We have exclusive tape. I don't know if anyone in the room has heard it yet.
He went crazy.
He went crazy.
Making proclamations about what he was going to do.
Yes, and like I said, if you didn't think that was offensive to Americans, flying a fifth plane into the White House, listen to what else he had to say about this country. What other plans, what other ghoulish plans he had for this great country.
To reenact the Battle of Gettysburg using live ammunition. Mm. Union soldiers would be Jerry's kids, and the Confederates would be kids from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh.
I plan to buy a gorilla costume, climb the Empire State Building while carrying Dakota Fanning, and then drop her on a group of tourists.
Oh.
I wanted to drill a hole in the Green Monster at Fenway Park in Boston and use it as a glory hole.
Okay, I've
oral on the corpse of Babe Ruth.
You know what? I've heard enough. I've heard enough. I believe the season is too long, but even I would not stand by that.
Babe Ruth doesn't have enough to deal with that creep Barry Bonds about to pass him now this.
Now this. You know what? Thank God he's not
I will go to St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York and play How Great Thou Art on the pipe organ. It's my pipe organ.
Mm.
Ooh.
You know what I mean.
I'm an atheist and I'm offended.
I mean my penis.
Okay.
I wish to sneak into the House of Representatives and fart on all 436 seats. I would steal B.B. King's diabetes medication and force-feed him Dollhouse chocolate chips.
Hmm. Hmm. God knows what that great man and his guitarless seal would do.
I wish to kidnap Evert Roper
make them put their thumbs up each other's butt.
No, no.
Is that? I hope no, that's all.
That's enough.
Okay.
That's
the last one would be kind of funny.
Yeah, but that's enough.
But it doesn't make it
He's
all right.
Doesn't
make
it no,
right.
It doesn't make it all right.
He's in jail for life.
Go ahead.
This may be a difficult segue, but I'm going to make it work. What do lesbians have in common with straight men? According to a Swedish study published today, lesbian brains, like those of straight men, find female pheromones more pleasant than male pheromones. This study adds weight to the idea... Sorry, Bruska. This study adds weight to the idea that homosexuality has a strong physical component and is not necessarily a learned behavior.
Yes, of course, because you just it's like you could never stop vomiting if it wasn't carved into your soul. If it wasn't in every fiber of your muscle, you couldn't stop vomiting. If it was just one of these things to piss off your dad.
Right.
Hey, Dad, hey, yeah, screw with me. I want you to meet my boyfriend, Herman. Now, you couldn't stop vomiting. You just couldn't.
Well, that's right. That was the point I tried to make yesterday.
You did.
Right.
Yes.
And straight men will find the smell, the pheromone of women attractive. Gay men will find the scent of other men attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment news.
Mm-hmm.
After spending a week in an underwater tank, illusionist David Blaine attempted to break the record for holding one's breath underwater. This on an ABC special last night. He was almost 2 minutes shy of the record, but he was still grateful for the fans.
This was a very difficult week, but you all made it fly by with your strong spirit, your energy. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you all, and I love you all.
I don't know if you guys, anyone see that?
No.
There was a right at the very end, they cut to two of the fans that made it all worthwhile, to the smoking hottest models I've ever seen in my life in the stands with tears coming down their eyes. And I realized that's why he does it. He bangs smoking hot chicks all day long. That stuff.
He really has had so many women.
That's his greatest.
Fiona Apple's Foxy.
Right.
Yes.
He's had her. He had the, if you look her up online, if you don't know, I mean, Josie Moran.
Yeah.
The hottest she might be the best looking woman there is.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah. It's magician's greatest illusion is just banging supermodels having a personality.
David Copperfield, didn't he have Claudia Schiffer?
So they say.
By the way, I like that the name of this show was Drowned Alive. If there was ever an oxymoron.
Well,
you can't be drowned alive, by definition.
You were alive, and now you're drowned. Yeah, he made it to about 7:08 or something like that. The record is 8:56.
Yeah,
and by the way,
8:58.
Worse. Because if I was with the guy who made the record of 8:58, I would have been, couldn't have made it to 9. Are you kidding? I held my breath for over 8.5 minutes. I know, but 2 more seconds, it would have been an even 9. Would have been so great. If you've ever held your breath, and I think I have once, about 2.5 or 3 minutes, once when I was super bored in living in my apartment in North Hollywood, just hyperventilating and bedding with my buddy the Wheeze. 3 minutes is incredible. 2 minutes, just trying it now for 1.5 minutes is amazing. The real amazing thing are those free divers.
Ones
that go down the record is like 550 feet or something like that. Your pool is 9 feet. You try to go down to the drain, your ears start popping. Could you imagine 500 and something feet with no tanks? Just going right down into the dark abyss. You're swim right back up again. That's a crazy sport.
It's a weird sport. And he was actually trained by free divers, I believe.
Right. But that's another thing I think of, too, is the idea that we drowned in either 3 inches of water or we can only hold our breath. The average person can last about 45, 50 seconds underwater before they panic, inhale water, and drown and die. God should not have meant us to go in the water. No creature should go into the water unless they can hold their breath at least 15 minutes. It doesn't seem right. You know, you hear about these other animals. Oh, yeah, polar bears. They go swim 5 miles offshore, and they can dive down 200 feet, and they'll hold their breath for 15, 20 minutes. Most animals are that way, or they can't go in the water at all. We can go into the water, no problem. We just can't stay under it for more than 40 seconds, or we die. It's a weird thing of nature. They should have made us that we couldn't go into water, or we can, and we can stay under for a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, that's it.
That's all I'm
saying. I had a lot more to say, but not according to Bruska. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports.
do it, Dave.
That'll teach Teresa in her second day to crack wise. Fat jokes.
Yeah, that was my last fat joke. Enjoy it.
By the way, what happens if a girl used to kiss my butt? She gets the job and that's it.
Hush up. Now.
We're cutting
it's time to talk about. It's time to talk about the NBA playoffs. Sweet Jesus, what a shootout it was in the Valley of the Sun last night. Did you watch the game? Game one between the Suns and the Clippers. Phoenix took it 130-123. Clips led it at the half, but the Suns proved to be too much. Tons of scoring. Clip shot 60%. And still lost the game.
Wow.
Elton Brand went for 40. Sam Cassell, 28. McGetty with 20. But the MVP, Steve Nash, went for 31. Sean Marion, Rajah Bell, Boris Diaw, all around 20. And the Duncan Gorilla came off the bench for 17. Would have been more, but he's a terrible free throw shooter.
Is he allowed to bring, he's not good from the stripe, is he allowed to bring the mini trampoline out there?
He does, yeah.
Wow.
But that they don't let him do it. He can't. It has no purpose on the free throw line. That's why
I see. That's why he's no good.
Right.
Okay.
He's spectacular in the open
floor. Oh, yeah, the air. The Duncan Gorilla
can trampoline.
Greatest athlete in all sports, for my money, the Duncan Gorilla from the Suns. Yeah.
What the relationship is between the Suns and a gorilla, I'm still not certain.
No, and I also argue there's racial overtones there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I'm uncomfortable with it.
Because gorillas aren't indigenous, as far as I know, to the Phoenix area.
No, they have in Flagstaff and Tucson, but not Phoenix.
No. Now, what I want to get back to, speaking of the animals, is we have to talk about, we brought up before the Derby, the Kentucky Derby the other day, good horse names also happen to be good names for one's wang.
Yes.
So we have to get back to that. Oh. I'll just give you a little. Barbaro.
That's how I picked my Zacta last year at Santa Anita.
Right. There are a lot of good ones. Let me give you just a couple from history that I thought these are great names for the wang and for
Man of
championship
War
horses. Man of War is right up at the top of the list. Very nice. How about this one? Spanish Chestnut.
Chestnut is small.
Yeah, but I think it's like when you call a fat guy tiny.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's a bad one as far as that goes. Regret.
So apt in many cases.
Still my favorite from this year's field at the Derby, Sinister Minister.
Yeah, when you want to introduce your gal friend to the Sinister Minister.
Yeah, so many more to get through, but for now, let me say this, that hockey, Stanley Cup playoffs last night, San Jose Sharks won their game. They are now up 2-0. In their series, they are hurtling towards a matchup in the conference finals with the mighty Ducks of Anaheim, which would create a matchup of Teemu Selanne versus Jonathan Chychrun. It's a dream that may come to fruition.
Chychrun,
Teemu.
Wow.
Chychrun and Teemu. That's the way it should be.
Dave is beaming, by the way. He's never been prouder of himself.
Chychrun, Teemu.
Dr. Mo Damashek.
Play it together.
Oh, Beaver Falls wiping away a tear. Single
play
tear.
Play hockey.
The weird thing is you actually have a good singing voice.
Yeah. The weird thing is that you think he has a good singing voice.
I know.
That's the weird thing.
And one more thing. Speaking of big matchups that the nation's been buzzing about, Jimmy Kimmel versus Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, the 80s music showdown that we've been talking about head-to-head to see who knows more about 80s music, like George Foreman in Zaire versus Ali. Kimmel has come up with some mysterious ailment.
Really?
Yeah. Remember when the fight was delayed over in Zaire because Foreman something was wrong and they had to delay it by a month?
Yeah.
Kimmel's come up with something.
I checked him. He says he has turf tongue.
Uh-oh.
He burnt it out over the weekend doing too many sets with a Men at Work CD.
The promotion is going crazy for this thing, too. And there's a song about it.
Jimmy Kimmel was a DJ.
He was.
Spinning Huey Lewis and Kaja Goo Goo songs. It was tough.
Mobile DJ.
So tough. Michael Rosenbaum isn't gay.
day. Buddy Love, Karma Chameleon, and Michael Jackson's white glove. His glove. They've got a hold on who sang what. It doesn't make a difference if it's Wham or not. They've got each other to fight for the top spot. And the loser gets shot. Oh,
that's not true.
So pathetic. Oh, 80s music showdown. Lex Luthor.
It is pathetic.
Versus Pizza Man. Oh, for the 80s song crown.
You know, I got to say, you know, Jimmy was a mobile DJ doing parties and bar mitzvahs and weddings and stuff like that. It has to blow being a former, thank you, being a former mobile DJ. When Jimmy was doing it, you had to have the milk crate that held 7,000 records, and there's no heavier substance known to man. Somehow these milk crates would hold 4,000 or 5,000 records, and you try to pick it up. It's like just trying to pick up a block of iron. And now you can have 75,000 songs in your iPod. Some J.O. just walks in there, plugs it in. I imagine the old school mobile DJ talking to today's mobile DJ. Son, you don't know how we had it.
I thought this was leading to you saying something like, Kimmel should be in better shape having carried that around all the time. I thought that's what you were getting.
That was a subtext. I'm glad you caught on.
I see. But quickly, let me just say that the contest is, I don't know why Brusque is saying, explain the contest! Damashek, explain the contest! It's a, you know, they were just going to see who could name that tune faster. 80s. How much more straightforward could it be? But now it's been pushed a few weeks to June.
Mm-hmm.
Because
so we'll
of Kimmel's mysterious injury.
Correct.
Well, we're in the middle of sweeps.
Sweeps is an injury.
He's working hard. He has another TV show that he works on.
Is that right?
Yeah. I go to bed early, so I've not caught it yet. But it's a nighttime TV show on deep cable. And evidently has to work on that.
So I go to bed when it's still light outside, so I wouldn't know.
When he's done with that, then he'll come in and we'll have the competition.
Terrific. All right, that's that.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Joel Heising is in here next. He is from No Lie MRI. We'll talk to him about this technology, but I believe if we're not at the cusp, we are then into the realm of being able to tell if someone is lying or not by looking at their brain unequivocally. It's it. And, you know, people do that thing where it's like, well, is it better than our system? Well, 98%, 99%, 97%, as opposed to all the brothers that are on death row for crimes they didn't commit? Yeah.
Right.
I'd say anything over 55 or 60% is probably doing better than what we have right now. We'll talk to him about this technology. Also, Dave Attell, world's funniest stand-up. Def Rat guy coming in. Kathy Griffin.
Can't wait.
Cannot wait. All after this.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla Show, boy. This is the Drunk Tree mascot. What do you want me to read this? Adam Carolla Show, you're listening to it, and you give him a call at 866-901-ADAM.
I think I'm going to puke.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, now a topic near and dear to my heart. You know, try to provide a little entertainment on this show, but once in a while we'd like you to think. And again, if you're driving, close your eyes and think. Joel Heisinger is here. He's the president and CEO of Ischem Corporation. They do the No Lie MRI. Now, explain what an MRI machine does.
An MRI machine is a big magnet, and you go in there and it looks at how your hydrogens are reacting to their environment.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that was used and still is used, obviously, in the medical industry, but you're now modifying it with software to work as a lie detector test.
It's a standard machine, but we're using it so that people put their head in it, and we can see the blood flow in your brain, and it turns out that to construct a lie, you construct a lie in a very particular part of your brain. And if that part of your brain is using oxygen,
speaking of your brain,
you're lying.
Dave, please stop using your brain to whack the microphone over there. Do you have low blood sugar? You want to stand up?
If Bresco would have shared that muffin, maybe I wouldn't.
All right, so I guess what I'm asking is does this work in everybody, or are people constructed differently? Would this work? You know, would Charles Manson be able to meet this thing because his brain just doesn't function like yours and mine?
No, this probably will work in all primates. So this is more general than just humans.
So because Tad's a manatee, it wouldn't work on him, for instance.
Exactly. Well, you'd have to fit him into the MRI machine.
Oh, you'd have to modify it right there.
There are head-only MRI machines for the bigger people.
Yeah, well, does that have an add-a-leaf system? Like, you know, when the folks are coming over for Thanksgiving, you throw an extra leaf in the MRI machine, wind it for Big Tad's brain. Ironically, almost no brain, walnut-sized brain. It's just the cabezas. Huge. So this works on everybody.
Yes.
And the advantage of this machine, and give us a little history of the lie detector. How long has it been around? And the ones that we know of now, how do they work?
Historically, all the previous lie detection technologies were all non-direct. In other words, a polygraph machine just tells if your autonomic nervous system is turned on, and that means you're anxious, angry, or nervous.
Right.
Now, we all know that that's, you know, some people are nervous and they're lying, some people aren't.
Right, and it's they say that the diabolical guys can beat it, or if you put a tack in your shoe, you
exactly.
can beat it. And
exactly.
There are other ones that work off perspiration.
Yeah, it's totally bogus.
Right, because if you're not somebody who perspires or someone who gets nervous when you lie, then you beat the test. But this one essentially goes inside of you, and
your brain can't lie. Exactly.
So what would you say as far as, and how much testing have you done on this machine? But if you took 100 people and you put them through this, would anybody be exempt from it?
Well, people, if they have metal in their body, can't go into the machine. So that's a limitation right there. But besides that, people that are lying, we can pick that up right now at about 93% of the time, but we haven't optimized for accuracy yet, so we're now doing the experiments to optimize for accuracy, so we hope to get up to 99%.
Right. And the way I see it, the way the court system is constructed, and we do this thing well, we have the best court system in the world, true, but compared to the crappy countries and their horrible, you know, who are we comparing ourselves to, Turkey? You know, they have horrible court systems all over. Ours, I figure, first off, if you're rich, you're going to do pretty good. If you can afford really good representation, if you can get the dream team together as opposed to the guys making 45 grand a year appointed by the courts, you're probably going to walk. But it has to do with your, you know, socioeconomic stuff, color of the skin, what part of the country you're in. To me, we're firing at about 65 or 70%, maybe. And when you go down and look at the OJ cases and the names go on and on. Robert Blake. These are people we're sure were guilty. Open and shut cases. They're out playing golf right now.
It's antiquated. Listen, if we've learned nothing from the NFL, listen, they have instant replay. Let's do the same thing with our judiciary.
We figured it out.
I was thinking more about DNA evidence. Look how many people were exonerated by DNA evidence.
Right. So the point is DNA evidence did not exist 10 years ago or 15 years ago or was a fledgling technology. Now it does exist. It's a science. We use it. Say, fingerprints were that way. They didn't use fingerprints 100 years ago. Somebody figured it out. That's the way society works. We use technology. We throw out the old. The old was good at the time, but now that we have a technology, now that we have flat screens, who needs the big old TV sets anymore? I would say the same with the court system and the money. When you hear about the money it costs the taxpayers for these high-profile cases, and for every OJ case, there's 1,000 that we're just paying for that just cost hundreds of thousands of dollars and not millions of dollars. There's the physical courthouse and the bailiff and the stenographer and the whole system, not to mention the millions of man-hours missed at jury duty and all this kind of stuff. Could we replace the entire system one day with one of these MRI machines?
We're going to only be testing people that agree to be in the machine. I think for this to go, we have to look like good citizens, and so we want to do our part. And so our company and our franchisees will only be testing people that agree to be tested.
But one day, conceivably, I mean, I don't want to get into some weird Orwellian future thing and the ramifications of that, but just practically, your machine more accurate than the current system.
Just one, yes. Put, just throw one in the back of every squad car, right? The cops show up, they put you in, you're innocent or you're not.
MRI machines are quite large, so that's they'd have to.
And then you get Matt Dillon, and he's racist, and now you got problems. But for instance, the OJ trial could have been over in an afternoon using your machine,
probably.
And if you asked a guy like OJ to take your machine, he wouldn't do it.
Ah, if he was innocent, he would.
Right. That's the part I want everyone to listen to. You know, there's a lot of that stuff. You watch 60 Minutes and it's like, well, we couldn't reach this company for an interview. But they did say in a statement that they weren't guilty. Well, if they're not guilty, they do an interview. And if you're not guilty, you take the lie detector test because you want to be exonerated. Why walk around? Why not walk around with society having this doubt over their head? Why not let them do it? How about someone like Barry Bonds? With if he got into the thing, would you just ask him straight out, did you know you were taking steroids?
You could ask him that.
And would the brain light up? And that would be that.
Yes.
No more speculation.
100% this thing.
There's nothing in science that's 100%.
Mm-hmm. How about gravity?
What about relativity? It's been pretty well
proven. It could be 99.9999, just like the DNA testing.
So you could find out if Ryan Seacrest is gay or Nicole Richie has an eating disorder. Scott Peterson, the Kobe rape thing. Even historically, like imagine Lee Harvey Oswald, someone like that. You know, was he tied in with the mob? All this kind of stuff, you know. I mean, it's just so interesting to me.
Did Puck really stick his fingers
in the peanut butter?
In the peanut butter of Pedro? In real world? Yeah,
that was on tape.
Really, really tackle the tough issues. So what about, as far as society goes, do you think we're scared of this technology?
Yes, of course.
Why?
Because most people lie quite often.
Right. And we feel like it's that whole slippery slope thing where, sure, we're using it now to take, you know, guys who murdered people, but soon every home will have this. And if a guy stayed up and watched a little Skinamax on a Wednesday night, his old lady's going to bust him the following morning. Is that, we think we're heading toward this weird Big Brother, slippery slope, Orwellian thing?
Well, they say white lies are the glue of civilization.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Never heard that, but interesting. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think there's a part of society that wants to protect this sort of... It's the same... I think it's the same thing that doesn't want the man monitoring our phone calls. We're not talking about any terrorist activity. We're not talking about anything. We just don't like the idea of it, and we think it'll lead to that day of everyone wearing gray jumpsuits and being assigned numbers. And by the way, I blame Hollywood for all this, because every glimpse into the future is an apocalyptic glimpse into the future. We're all drones in jumpsuits or forced to march to some, you know, grand poobah's dance, or we're all living underground because of apocalypse, see? And we're scared we're going to get there. It's been burned into all our minds. Well, sure, it's functional MRI now. Sure, now we find out about OJ, but soon you'll not. The government's going to monitor your thoughts.
Yeah, one at the door frame of every classroom, so that when you leave after dropping your test off, you have to sit down and answer if you cheated.
Right. So, how much, by the way, would this cost? What if we wanted to send Big Tad through that machine? Would
$30 a minute presently.
How long do you need to find out if someone's lying?
How much you want to know. We need about 10 minutes to set it up, the machine.
He doesn't have 10 minutes worth of stuff in his brain, believe me.
I'm almost sure he made love to a donut in 1997. That's the only question I ever want to ask Big Tad. I think he's lying about that.
That donut was asking for it. It was all glazed. Sugary.
So $30
a minute.
$30 a minute. So would 10 minutes?
Well, we need about 10 minutes of setup time because we do structural tests first on your brain.
Right.
So we know where everything is.
So you want to see the hamster running on the wheel in
exactly.
Big Tad's head before,
exactly.
So you can calibrate.
So we have to know where that hamster is.
Right. And then another 10 minutes worth of questions?
It depends how much you need to know.
So under $1,000, we could get our answers?
Yeah, probably.
And these are definitive?
They're yes or no questions. We don't actually read your mind. So, mm-hmm. you know, they have to be posed as yes or no questions, because we're looking at whether a part of your brain is active. We're not actually looking at your thoughts.
How much, and if you took a man who claimed he wasn't gay, for instance, put him into the MRI machine and showed him gay erotica, do you think you could determine?
Yeah, sure.
You could. That's a no-brainer. That's a layup.
Yeah.
And all these cases, whether we're talking about Robert Blake, O.J. Simpson, all could be done in a matter of minutes?
Probably less than an hour.
Less than an hour.
I mean, did you kill Nicole Simpson? It's a yes or no question. It's
Is that what
seconds.
You would ask? Is that
sure.
what you would ask?
Pretty.
And then that'd be it. And we'd have the data.
Sure.
All right. I don't, you know, to me, like, I'm just a confused atheist who doesn't understand why we don't use whatever technology we've come up with in whatever time we're in. It's like, if we had a machine that worked in teletransportation or teleportation, whatever they call it, we had one now, let's just use it now. That's the best way to get from here to San Francisco or here to New York. Why are we climbing inside these metal planes?
Well, what's crazy about it is I get the impression from what you're saying is that with bureaucracy and such, we're not going to see this being used for at least, you know, to resolve
forever.
These things for at least, like, it seems like, you know, 10 years at the earliest we're going to be putting people, criminals in here.
People are afraid of people in power, and I think people are afraid. The first people that people mention about lying is usually politicians, and
right.
I think people are afraid that maybe the next Joe Stalin would use this to get rid of his enemies. You know, are you my friend?
Mm-hmm. And is, for instance, have you ever tried to really use this? Wouldn't the trial lawyers come out and use their strong lobby to sort of shoot it down? I mean, aren't there a lot of power players who don't ever want to see the light of day, who have their jobs to protect?
People that are interested in power are usually interested in power, and they're, you know,
right.
This would undermine some
right.
of the power.
Right, so it's one of those things that's sort of like the morning after pill. They're things that we have, they're safe, they're effective, they're today's technologies, they're out there, and there's a handful of tards that are screwing it up for the rest of the right thinkers, and they always do this worst case scenario. Well, what if an evil dictator got hold of this no-lie MRI machine and started taking all his enemies and carting them off to gulags? Yeah. Meanwhile, we have criminals running the
right.
streets. All right, I'm all for it, and I applaud you.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I'm really actually physically going to applaud you. Joel Huizenga, and what application does this have for your average citizen?
The average citizen can come forward when he wants to tell his friends and relatives and anybody else that he's telling the truth. I mean, a lot of times people just assume people mm-hmm. are lying.
Mm-hmm.
And so lots of people have come to me and written me and emailed me saying that they want to show that they're actually telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like in adultery cases?
Yeah. Actually, a lot of women have come forward and said that they wanted to prove to their husbands that they were not cheating on them.
I think my wife is, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about it. So if you think your wife is cheating or vice versa, all you have to do is hold that as a threat out over them, and they're going to fess up, right? I mean, if they know they're going, I mean, look, you could take a refrigerator box and cover it with foil, and I would start fessing up as we walked into the building. Oh, Christ, no, you're right. I did cheat.
That's how they use the polygraph.
That's how they use it.
It doesn't actually work, but people that think it's work, that
right.
they fall for that.
So it's that inaccurate, the polygraph test.
Oh, yes.
Well, you can trick it, because if you're a sociopathic, you can control your own heart rate and respiration and sweating, right?
That's true.
All right, so the no-lie MRI is really the future. And then what's the next step in technology before we go to break? 20 years from now, what do you think, where do you think we'll be?
Our patent includes the use of near-infrared technology, and that would be a smaller unit either put on the head
mm-hmm.
and it's theoretically possible. It just doesn't work presently. It's also theoretically possible to shine a laser at your head with a near-infrared spectra
mm-hmm.
and tell if you're lying from a distance, but that's pretty much science fiction. Right,
but the technology will get cheaper and it will get smaller,
sure.
like
sure.
all technologies. And that'll be it. We could use it right now, but let's say 10 years from now, overhaul the court systems, turn them all into TGI Fridays or something. I mean, do something. Let's clear it out. Let's save millions. Let's save billions. And let's get some answers. It's not satisfying. As a taxpayer, we shelled out $8 million to figure out OJ's got a tea time in Florida sometime. It's not satisfying at all. Even if you know he's guilty, even if you know Robert Blake is guilty, do you know? He says he's not, and he's out. There's always that kernel of doubt. I don't know what went on with Robert Blake. I assume he did it, but I don't know. I would like to know for my $5 million of tax money.
people that cheat the system have always been a cost on the system, and a system can only take so many cheaters.
Right. But yet, if somebody tried to come out with this machine, if somebody tried to replace the court system with this MRI machine, oh, people would be in a lather. I hate everyone.
This is awesome. Did Franco Harris, did the ball touch the ground on the Immaculate Reception
it's
or not?
It's not all Steelers.
It would
trivia.
Be awesome, that stuff. But we'll send Tad over there and we'll do it. And maybe we'll get like a bulk discount.
Yes.
Bulk rate.
To me, like the Kobe rape trial, things like
That'd
that
be,
would be
I,
really
I
satisfying.
I love this thing. This is awesome.
All right. Joel Heisinger, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll figure out something for Big Tad to do. Add that leaf to the MRI machine. We'll send him over there and we'll get some answers. We appreciate you coming on the show. Def Rat Guy coming up. Comedian Dave Attell, Kathy Griffin. All after this.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, this is Vinny Pastore. You know me as Big Pussy from The Sopranos. I'm dead and I'm hanging out with my boy Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla, you could call him at... What can we call him at? We could call him at 1-866-901-ADAM. You could fix that, right?
Yeah.
Hey, forget about it.
The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time for the Adam Carolla Show to check in with Maverick, the deaf frat guy.
If you're not wasted, the day is...
Why don't we get drunk?
Hell yeah.
Mav, deaf rat guy in studio.
What's up, bro?
Just to finish off, I'm so fired up about that functional no-lie MRI machine. It'd be the greatest pay-per-view in the world. You get OJ, and you get him in there to do it. You give OJ $25 million. He needs the bread.
Right.
I don't think this is admissible in court, by the way.
He can't go to jail. Double jeopardy.
Yeah, can't go to jail. This is the biggest... This is the biggest pay-per-view in history.
Absolutely.
And maybe you throw in a little undercard with Joey Buttafuoco there and Kobe or whoever. I mean, Kobe you probably couldn't get, but the Buttafuocos of the world, the OJs in the world, they don't have any money.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right that OJ would ultimately sign off on it. And walk off, you know, with his murderous laugh, you know, to the bank.
Yeah, so look, OJ, first off, you're not going to jail. Secondly, society considers you a pariah anyway. Why not do it with $20 million in your bank account and do it off some Cayman Island? Yes, that frat guy.
Don't forget about Robert Blake.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Get Robert Blake on the undercard.
Perfect undercard.
And again, all you do is say to society, look, we contacted OJ and he declined. That's guilt. When you're guilty, you don't want people to find out what's going on in your head because that's the truth.
But there are moral implications that people like the deaf rat guy would have to deal with. Maverick's got all these juggling the ladies at USC.
Right.
You know, Ashley from the Tridown House, who I think is the one who looks like Misha Barton. I think she would maybe catch him in a lie when he's playing off, you know, with the other Ashley.
Right, the one that's shaved downstairs, yeah.
Ashley does look a lot like Misha Barton, but she had a little more junk in the trunk.
So, Mav, 50-year senior over at SC, looking to graduate this year, right?
This month.
My thesis advisor says I have a pretty good shot.
Mm-hmm. And you want to get into radio. What is your major?
Communication.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking to get into radio, TV, something like that. We've been trying you out at different jobs over here at the station. You've done pretty well. And you want to be hired on if and when you graduate.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, hold on a second. We need to take a break. Now, when we come back, because we're running behind, we want to get caught up. What are you going to do for us when we come back?
I don't know, bro. Whatever you want. I'll roll however...
Okay.
Well, you're working on your, you're trying to graduate, right? So you're busting, you're really working hard on this thesis, or?
Dude, it's crunch time.
Right. So
maybe we can give you some help with that.
We can help you out your thesis when we come back?
Hopefully, bro, because I also have final.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. All right. We appreciate you taking time off from your finals to be with us. Deaf Rat Guy in studio, Dave Attell. Funny comedian, Dave Attell. Kathy Griffin coming in. Can't miss. After this.
This is... is The Adam Carolla Show.
Let me explain the genius of Gene Simmons, not only in the marketing of Kiss, but the marketing of his own testicles. He's announced to the world, this is who I am, this is how I work.
Every woman complains that none of the guys tell her the truth. So you should look into the eyes of your beloved and say, I desire you with every inch of my being, but I want your mommy and your sister too. As long as you get that out of the way, then you're fine.
Yeah, smart.
Of my friends will never run out of opinions. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Louis Louis, oh no, we gotta go. Ay, 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 I said, Louis Louis, oh baby, we gotta go.
Deaf rat guy in the hizzy.
My little girl, wait.
In the house.
He's a teak, 50 or senior over at SC. He likes to be called Maverick. He's going to be at the Improv, the Hollywood Improv, with us tomorrow night, as well as Dave Attell and who the hell else? Oh, David Alan Greer. I'll be there. The whole crew will be there. Jeff Ross, Christian, our young comedian's going to be performing. It's going to be a show of shows. So that's tomorrow night. At the Hollywood Improv, go to HollywoodImprov.com. Just a few tickets left. And yes, Mav.
There will be free beer.
I don't think it's going to be free beer.
Are you okay?
I'll buy you your first round, though, if that'll make it better for you.
No, they said there will be free beer. That's how they got me to do this show.
Well,
I'm supposed to be working on my thesis.
All right, all I'm saying is it's a nice joint. It's a classy joint. We'll buy you a beer, but don't funnel it. Just drink it out of the bottle like everyone else, all right?
Hell yeah.
Crestfallen, deaf rat guy.
His heart wasn't in that.
Yeah. So, deaf rat guy, you're looking to graduate. Now, you're 5th-year senior over at SC. You're working on a thesis. Are there questions you want? What is the topic of your thesis?
Well, I'm a little P.O.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had my thesis, and we're like 3/4 of the way done. Mm-hmm. And it was a really cool topic, and my thesis advisor was totally pumped on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was titled Similarities Between American Sign Language and Gang Signs.
Wow,
oh,
yeah.
That's creative.
Interesting, interesting, yeah.
For example, like, American Sign Language design for I Am Lost, Please Help Me, this gang called MS-13, it means... Your mom takes it in both ends.
So if you're down in South Central, you're down on like Hoover and Alvarado Street, and you pull over, and you're a deaf guy, and you want to give the sign to some guys on the corner wearing wife beaters and shaved heads, and you're saying, look, I'm help, I need directions. They could misinterpret that.
Yeah, they're like, in American Sign Language, you'll say, is there an ATM nearby?
Right.
The crimps, that means, this is my block now, mofo.
Wow. Oh.
I had no idea. I guess it's bound to happen. There's only so many, you know, configurations you can put your fingers in. Well, wow.
And then the Aryan Brotherhood has a bunch of overlaps, but I don't think I can say the N-word on the radio.
Good instinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting topic for a thesis.
I know. What happened?
But, dude, you totally screwed me over and suggested a better idea.
What? I just suggested that maybe you want to do it on radio, since that's what you're wanting to get into.
Well, you said that because I was interning here, maybe mm-hmm. I should write something about radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I switched over, and I've been busting my ass every morning here.
Right, right.
Or, almost every morning.
Right.
And now I'm screwed.
So you say you're sort of caught midstream, yeah.
No offense to Torita.
Mm-hmm.
She's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And she's good at the noon. But Right. Dude, you told me that that was my job to lose.
Well, you lost it. I'm just saying, we had you come in here. We had you do the restaurant critic thing. We had you do some traffic, some weather, and had you do the news. You did a decent job in all of them.
More food, less food.
Yeah, you were over at the Ivy last week with your decree of more food, less food. I do feel like ultimately you going for the potato gun whenever there's a run-in with the maitre d' is probably not the way to go with the restaurant review, but so be it. That's a choice you made. I just thought maybe you'd want to talk to me, interview me, talk to Sheck, you know, find out how morning radio works.
First of all, in that restaurant, I go in there.
Yeah.
And they look at me like I'm from another planet when I ask for a side of blue cheese.
Right, I know. But you said you were wearing basketball trunks and flip-flops at the Ivy? At the Ivy, Def Rec? Even you should know there's a dress code.
They got a little bummed out. They said my hat was dirty.
What'd it say?
Not dirty. It was
it's
my lid.
Sorry.
Your lid.
I thought it said no fat chicks or something. You mean it was actually filthy? I see. I'm sorry.
And they also said that they were a little bummed out that I was dipping.
You had some plug in. You had a little red man in you.
I like to have a copy before a big meal.
Yeah, because you can't light up in restaurants anymore. What's wrong with dipping? And by the way, your date, the hot Ashley, must have loved to see you spitting into that cup.
She dips too.
That's a lady. Oh, I know. I don't want to take you back to last week because I know what happened. You funneled the six pack, and then you woke up, and Poochie was on top of Ashley. I just don't want to conjure up those kind of negative memories for you.
There is one bit of good news.
Mm-hmm.
I think Poochie's uncle is going to move into the house.
That's good news.
Yeah.
He's sort of having a midlife crisis.
Like in the movie Old School.
Yeah, I like that.
And dude, he's been rolling a lot, though. We are a little worried.
Well, now, Poochie's uncle, if memory serves, he's the one who picked you up when you had all that trouble in Cabo.
Right.
And drove you guys so you could salvage your break. You could salvage your spring break. He drove you guys out to Havasu, right? So he's a cool guy.
He's a really cool guy. He's like, his thing now, he's always got a pacifier in his mouth.
Because he's rolling?
Yeah. So he's a 40-something-year-old guy that basically wants to relive his youth, huh?
Dude, he's 40, but he acts like even younger than us, like he's 14 or 15.
All right, that's cool. You got an old guy, he's buying beer, he's got a nice ride.
I would worry about him with Ashley.
Yeah, seasoned guy like that could take your lady away.
Dude, no tri-down will touch him.
Okay,
But maybe he'll get with a theta or a kappa.
Ooh. Wow. All right, so do you want to work on your thesis? We have to take a break, too. I'm not sure where we are in the show. You want to take a break, or should we want to work on a thesis? What do you want
to
do?
I got to ask you a few questions about my thesis.
All right.
What is your favorite type of potato?
Well, Dave went over it just this morning, but I would say the baked potato wrapped in the foil. I like that. Get that at the steak joint.
Dude, you must be really PO'd at somebody.
No, not to eat, not to fire at somebody. No,
but by the way, I don't want to, you know, I'm not a college counselor.
Hold on, what was that potato sound? That sounds good.
Yeah. What does the potato, though, have to do with the...
Career in radio.
Right.
Well, it's just a question because we talk about the potato guns a lot, and I thought this would be a chapter.
Yeah, he's interviewing the man. All right, that's all.
Don't let me get
it. No question. Yeah, you wouldn't ask Dick Cavett why he asked Bill Cosby that question, would you?
Please proceed.
Well, can I just say one thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say this to you, but I will say it to Braska.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if, God forbid, I have to take a 6-year at SD,
yeah,
and I don't get this job, somebody is going to get a spot in their ass.
Wow. Wow, those are
Those are threats.
I don't even know what that means, but I feel like it might be me.
Well, the point is, is he lets his potato gun do his talking. A lot of guys come in here, a lot of bluster, a lot of smoke and mirrors, but not the not that frat guy.
With Teresa, I would like to have her as a friend with benefits.
All right, it won't be a potato you get in your ass.
Deaf rat guy. Deaf rat guy, hang on for a second because we're running late here. We got to take a break. Hang with us. Dave Attell, the world's funniest stand-up comedian. Is he here? Is he in studio? I haven't seen him walk in. He's out there. All right, we're going to bring him in. Also, Kathy Griffin coming in later. Hang out. We'll be back with Deaf Rat Guy and Dave Attell after this.
Want to talk to Adam? Call him at 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, this is Peter Griffin, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's about as good as it gets. Almost as good as hot Asian chicks.
Well, Adam, my friends, will never
run out of opinions.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Doesn't matter who you are or what you do, men like breasts, and that's the way it works. They like breasts, and they like looking at them. It calms them and quiets them. It's like a mace shot without all the rolling around and screaming. Men like looking at breasts, especially the cleavage. The cleavage. Thrusting it out at me. Making me do things. Making me listen to you. It's crazy. I can't do that. I can't walk around with half a testicle hanging out, can I? Oh, I'm sorry. You caught me. That, too, is a fashion statement. It's called Time for a New Pair of Bloomers.
Dave Attell in studio. I saw Dave in San Francisco with Jimmy Kimmel many years ago. It was a humbling experience. Made me want to get back into carpentry. Everything I knew and thought was funny previously ceased to exist.
Well, thank you, Adam, but you should have been there last night.
Oh, really? Not as funny, huh?
Yeah, you know how you... well, this is what it was. You know, like Monday...
Where were you, by the way, last night?
I was in a comedy club here in L.A., and it's a Monday night. You know, you just drop in, and I just wanted to... work on some new stuff, you know. David Blaine, work on that. You know? That was kind of funny, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought so.
You know, because I like him because he's like the laziest magician. He just...
Right.
He always puts himself like, I'll be in a box. I'll be on a pole.
Yeah.
I'll be laying in water.
Previously, man was only able to exist 8 days on a hammock. He's going to break that record.
It's like, you know, watch him read a book. You know, I don't know what it is, but... so I go in there, and it was like one of those things where it's like a small crowd, but not necessarily a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes it's small, it's like, oh, this is nice. You know? But this was one of those where it was like a, it was kind of like an airport bar without the fun.
Right.
Without the travel aspect to it.
Right.
And even, I think there was a casting director, and she was heckling me. And this is when I knew it was over, because I did some joke, and I asked this girl, I said something about Scott Peterson, and this girl goes, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Scott Peterson.
Yeah.
So that's how that happens.
Trouble.
Like, you know, I'm like, well, honey, you're going to end up on a boat trip.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, that's not going to happen Wednesday night at the Hollywood Improv.
I'll bring it hard that night.
Oh, Dave Attell's going to be there. Jeff Ross, King of the Roast, and arguably the Jews. David Allen Greer is going to be in there.
All three of them?
All three of them, mm-hmm. and you, and Jeff Richards, and it just keeps going. Deaf Rat Guy's going to be there. Damashek's going to be there. Bruska's going to be there. Everyone's going to be there. I'll be there. I'll be emceeing. It'll be a night to remember. HollywoodImprov.com. Yes.
You're the ringmaster, then.
I will be, yes.
And where's my spot on that?
Your spot, I'm trying to think, because, and you tell us, because to me, you're the cream of that crop, but does that mean you go last?
Headliner.
Or does that mean you go in the middle and get the F out of Dodge?
I've been going last on every show I've been doing here in town. I think that's some kind of a telling point that I'm, you know, I'm over, basically.
Well, it means you're the headliner.
What?
No, that's how they lull you into it. That's the, you know, get on the train. Let's take a shower.
Oh, we're going to Auschwitz.
It's just a delousing.
Yeah, you just got to, you know, the worst part about it is then you got to, like, hang out the whole time. You know, you can't really get drunk because then you got to go on and, you know. What about the deaf rat guy?
Deaf rat guy.
I don't mean to be nasty, but, like, sometimes if there's a gangbang in the house, the guy who goes last, that's, like, for freshmen and stuff.
Right.
Really?
Right.
That's the worst position.
That's like a hazing.
That's in Van Wilder's handbook, I think.
it's a weird thing in life. Yeah, if you're playing baseball and you go last, you're the worst hitter on the team.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a concert and you go last, you're the best band on the bill. So it's weird. And Gangbang, yes, I agree with you, Def Rat guy. Last, yeah.
You want to go first or second or third, but not last.
Right.
See, but if he goes last, then everybody will think it's a benefit, you know.
Right.
Mm. They'll be like, this is why we're here. And that's not right, you know.
Oh,
you talking about the gangbang?
No.
No, he,
oh, I see.
He means you know. Def Rat guy's
I
on last
see,
of the
I
show.
See, I see. Right, right. Yeah, I think it's to raise money so mm-hmm. he can get some sort of implant. No, right. That's not true. We're not doing it for any reason other than we're rich, we're white, and we like to laugh. That's all. Dave is, and by the way, Mav, I'm sorry we sort of cut your appearance a little bit short, and we can try to work you and Dave Attell into the segment if you have any questions.
Well, we're
going to
do a buddy
like
thing,
that.
I think.
Oh, you guys?
Yeah.
Like a cop buddy thing?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff and Dave.
I got to get some business out of the way.
Yeah.
Right.
What are you playing?
Moose wanted to know if you could somehow get Dan Cook's autograph.
I don't even know if I could. He's too busy. I'm sorry. Who's Moose? What's wrong with him? What, does he have a cleft palate?
Moose is a really cool dude.
Yeah.
Sometimes he gets wood at inappropriate times.
Oh, random wood.
Like during the Super Bowl when Mick Jagger was performing, mm-hmm. he got wood.
A little disturbing. Yeah. Maybe you don't want to go. You don't want to go after him during the gangbang. Yeah, Dave, you did the Insomniac tour, and that had Dane Cook on it. Maybe you could talk to him.
Dane is probably the biggest comic out there today. If I can't get you Dane Cook, can I get you Dane Edna? What's your name?
Dame Edna.
Yeah, sorry, I'm a little drunk. That's the Jameson.
Does Moose like Dame Edna? I doubt it.
I'm just going to go with no. Dave, you being the funniest stand-up out there today.
No, I'm
a little bit
up.
Jealous that Dane Cook is the biggest stand-up out there.
No, actually, there's only one true test of stand-up comedy now. It's MySpace.
Right.
I've only got a few thousand friends.
Right.
He has a few million.
Yeah.
So that's what it is, basically.
And what do you?
I'm like Luxembourg to his.
That's
Austro-Hungary
right.
Empire, whatever.
Yes. he is huge, and what do you... I mean, I know Dane Cook, I know his work, I think he's funny, but he shouldn't be that much bigger than Dave Attell.
Well, you know, actually, I'm hiring Dog the Bounty Hunter to find my career. He's working on it right now. But, I don't know. For me, I it was more about, like, you know... The thing you got to really respect about Dane is that he... Not only connected with the fan base, he really was out there on the road, like hitting colleges, hitting clubs, like working it. So it's not like he dat fanned it.
Right.
You know, it's not like he got a chance and he went out there and, you know, tried to make some money off it. He really has been out there doing it. And the kids really connect with him. I mean, I did a show with him in Vegas. That's where we shot this Insomniac special. And I swear, every hot girl there was there to see him.
No.
You know, a couple of skanks in the back, cocktail waitresses, they were there for me, you know?
Right.
But, I don't know, it's like a religion.
It really is. Hey,
dude,
yes,
that,
math.
Moose said that Dane Cook gets more ass than the gamified toilet.
I like how you look all pouty after you say it.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we look.
Def Rat guy. In Dave Attell in studio. We need to take a break. We're going to let you go, Def Rat guy. Do you have one more question for your thesis?
Dude, you said you would hire me.
I said we'd talk about hiring you. That wasn't a done deal, all right? And please watch your tone. And I don't mean your deaf tone. I mean your tone.
He can't,
you know what
watch
I mean?
His tone.
Yeah, even deaf guys can raise their voice. Wow.
He's modulating the best he can.
Yeah. Dave Attell just brought up a grapefruit-sized piece of phlegm, by the way.
That was bird flu. It's here.
All right. Got any more questions, Def Rat guy?
Dude, can I count on you to help me with my thesis?
I told you I'd help you, but you don't have any questions for me.
Bro. Can I count on you?
I told you to ask me the questions. We do an interview over the air, and I don't like where this is going. I don't
Dude,
like
you are a freak.
All right.
I have a bad
look,
feeling.
I'm not going to sit here and get insulted.
Year 6 in college is coming up.
On Ambien.
Yeah, you're going to be a six-year senior now. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, and I'm also going to ask that Bruska see you out. because I'm worried that you funneled a few beers and that you're going to get a little out of hand.
I got wasted last night, but I have sobered up. But, bro, let me just say, can I give a shout-out?
Okay.
Smitty, bro, you're going to get better. Everyone gets their stomach pumped on Cinco de Mayo.
All right, a little shout-out for Smitty. Def Rat Guy, everyone. Dave Attell is going to hang with us. Kathy Griffin coming up as well. News and sports, all that coming up after this.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin, and you're listening to the devil-loving Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM, and then go pray.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Come check out Christian the Comedian's chops. And a performance by his mentor, Jeffrey Ross. At the Improv tomorrow, we got something for you. Come see a Christian, some Jews, and the Adam Carolla Show crew. Just added superstar Dave Attell.
Yeah.
David Alan Greer will be there as well. And the Ace Man himself will be hosting it too. Come see a Christian, some Jews, and the Adam Carolla Show crew.
Jeff Ross, Dave Attell, David Alan Greer, just to name a few.
What's the money on that gig?
That's a good question. You mean how much do you get, or how much does it cost to buy a ticket?
How much, let's say, that I get, now that I'm going to, you know, team up with the Def Rat Guy.
Well, you guys are going to do that Cop Buddy series for Fox.
I hope so.
Def and Dave.
Def and Dave. I don't know. It's a good point. We only have 30 tickets left, I'm now told. So
that's great.
If you want to get in on it, go to HollywoodImprov.com. We were talking during the commercial to Dave Attell. And Dave, by the way, CD in stores now.
Yes.
The Insomniac Tour with Greg Giraldo and Dane Cook and Sean Rouse. And
Sean and Greg are like really super. Greg does the clip show on Comedy Central,
mm-hmm.
The Friday night, whatever they call
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Yeah, he's super good at and Sean, I'm surprised more people don't know about him, I guess, because he's, you know, kind of under the radar. But he is really super vicious funny, man. I mean, his stuff is great.
And then, of course, you got Dane Cook and Dave, so how can you go wrong? Mark?
Yeah.
You have a question for Dave Attell?
Yeah, I was wondering when you guys are going to come back with some Insomniac shows, man.
Oh, well, I think, a lot of people ask me that, but I think I'm done with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, what happened was, it was kind of a victim of its own success. You know, the more people knew about it, the harder it got to do. And we went overseas to kind of escape some of the other, you know, drunk frat guys who would kind of follow us around.
Right.
I noticed how after a while you were just going out to, like, do little specials.
Yeah, we did some overseas hits, but mostly that was my fight on terrorism. If you notice, I was in,
yeah.
It was before Munich came out. Dave, I was out there hunting them down.
One-man army, Dave Attell. Hits people with beer bottles.
So skilled that while he sits in here and as a guest on the radio show, he also is leafing through the newspaper.
I'm looking for topical humor.
I see.
How about this new Jessica Simpson haircut?
You told me that you said you like her new look.
Yeah, I think she looks great. She looks like I was saying, she looks like a reporter in the 40s or some kind of Jane Mansfield type.
Yeah, she well, it's a wig.
What?
Yes, it's a wig. I saw her interviewed last night because she was at the Latin Grammy Awards or something where Eva Longoria had 8 outfit changes, everybody.
Wow.
I don't change 8 a month, by the way. She did that 8 in 2 hours. But it's a wig, and she made sure to get the plug in for the Jessica Simpson wig line.
Ooh.
Oh.
What can't this bitch sell?
Nothing. She's got shoes. She's got makeup.
Yeah, she probably made $100 million.
She's a Walmart with a rack.
Yes.
Bobby!
Yes. No clothes on it, just a rack. So, Dave, again, we're talking during the break about Joey Buttafuoco.
Yeah.
And he's the guy I used. I was talking about him on Kimmel last week. I used him as an example when I was talking to my wife because we're trying to come up for names for my twins. And you do a lot of that stuff, like, name the guy Chuck. Chuck's your buddy, Chuck's your pal, Chuck would never let you down. And I said, you know, I'm sure Buttafuoco's parents went through this, too. Joseph. Joseph Buttafuoco. Sounds regal. I bet he'll be a senator or a shipping magnate or something. Turns out he owns a body shop and has a Frolic.
I had a crush on Amy. I'm from Long Island, so like when I was growing up, that was a big story.
Right.
And I remember seeing her, and I was like, wow, she is so cool. You know, I was like, this girl is cool. She's up for anything, actually, you know.
Right, and then you find out she was underage and she did drugs and her stock goes up in days.
Yeah, I was like, she was on E before anybody knew what that was.
Pioneer. Forget about felon. How about pioneer?
A trailblazer.
I love to see these guys being interviewed sitting across from one another. Actually, better than Joey Buttafuoco is the woman who stands by him. The new wife, this one. They're saying to her, now, how do you feel about these allegations? Amy Fisher saying that your husband had sex with her when she was saying, oh, she was high on drugs. She's lying.
Yeah. She loves him.
Yeah, they had a platonic relationship.
And in the meantime, last night on Entertainment Tonight, Mary Jo was reunited with Amy Fisher, and they hugged each other. Mary Jo consistently was hugging Amy Fisher. Here's listen to this from Entertainment Tonight.
Then on Wednesday, what happens when Joey, Amy, and Mary Jo finally face each other for the first time?
You're going to burn in hell, you little
Wow.
Whoa.
This is not this a real life?
No.
Wouldn't that be great to see all three of them in there?
Yeah. She had a, Amy Fisher had a nose job to conceal her identity, but now is doing primetime television shows and using...
She's in the shadows.
Using her real name. Yes.
Plus, she has a heavy Long Island accent, like me. You know, it'd be great, like two of us arguing about going to the mall where we can park. That'd be great.
It's attractive. All right, Dave Attell is going to be with us tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv. You can also find his Insomniac CD out in stores as we speak. And you can see him in the parking structure reading the USA Today, just outside the studio.
Thanks for having me, man. And also, I'm glad to be a part of that power show tomorrow. I think it's going to be great.
It is going to be a good show. And like I said, Dave Attell doing stand-up, Jeff Ross, David Alan Greer. And the list
keeps growing. The people are calling in.
Goes on and on. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Harlan Williams, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show with your ears. But for a little change, use your eyes and see how much more fun it can be in stuff kind of like stuff.
Stick around. We've got more.
The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, yo, man, I tell you what, man,
Hey, what's up, Adam? I was just calling to let you know. I don't know what I was talking about.
You have lots of characters on your show. I want to see if you want some fitness character on there with a Greek accent.
We already have four or five of them waiting to get on the show. Worst guys in the world are fitness guys, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you say?
Yeah.
Better to hang out with a guy who's morbidly obese than a guy who's really fit.
I don't like the guy. Speaking of fitness guys, the one at the gymnasium, I got a lot of beefs with the people at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is the guy who has the personal trainer, or girl, who has the personal trainer who hates their personal trainer. They always are announcing, like, they're like, come on, five more. And they, I was like, I hate you. You're a terrorist.
They don't really hate him, but you're torturing me.
Shut up.
That's
what do you hate more, fitness guys or publicists? Ooh, it's a tough one.
It's tough. Publicists.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because fitness guys are just idiots.
Right.
Whereas publicists are like diabolical, evil geniuses. It's the difference between, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer and Hitler. You know, they're all evil. One of them has a degree. And they can then do mass murder. They can use their evil and they create some sort of biological gas that kills thousands instead of just annoying 10 or 15 people at the gym. Mm-hmm.
Publicists or Prince?
Ooh, wow. My head's reeling. It's going to explode. I say publicists because there's more of them. Prince, there's only one. That's right. Hopefully he goes away soon. Yeah, the guy at the gym who works out in the combat boots.
Yeah,
how about that guy? Guy wearing the fatigues.
He's the guy who, because he's doing so much weight, has to bang the machine, you know, has to bang the weights really loud when he's done with his set, like,
yeah,
bang! And then there's a guy at the other end of the spectrum who's doing like the curl of 20 pounds, and mm-hmm. he has to make that whimper sound that fills the entire joint, like,
it's intrusive. Is that the sound you make? How about the old guy who does not own a pair of sweatpants or shorts and works out in jeans?
Yeah.
Jeans.
And loafers.
And like deck shoes.
Yeah.
They're not quite tennis shoes, but they're certainly nothing you would run in. Who is that guy?
Well, our pal Rick Rosner, who's a complete lunatic, goes to 5 gyms a night. Because he's insane, and he likes to go to 5 separate gyms and do 5 different exercises in them. And he goes in not just pants, but he goes in a button-down and his loafers.
The stuff he got at the gay thrift store. All the guys who died of Hep C and AIDS, he gets their shirts for 99 cents.
It's a good look. What do you think people must imagine when this lunatic walks in, this bearded fool in dress clothes, in business casual clothes, does a set of bench presses, gets up and walks out the door?
I think if they knew who Rick Rosner was, they'd tend to think about it more, Dave, but I don't think they care. Sorry.
Hitler or publicist?
All I'm saying is, here's a service I'd like to provide for people. I'd like to provide people I'm going to modify a pickup truck or a van. I'm going to put a huge mirror on the back of it, and I'm going to have joggers run behind it just to see what they look like. Because once in a while, you see the guy going down the street whose feet are pointing toward Mecca, or his knees are tacoed in, right, or arms are doing something weird and flailing. You realize this person has no idea what they look like jogging. It's nice to see somebody jogging with decent form. You say, wow, that guy's strong. That guy's confident. But the majority of people that jog have a weird gait. There's something strange about it, and I'm sure it could be corrected, just like a golf swing could be if you videotape it. I don't think these people know what they look like. I think when you're running, you're picturing Steve Austin in slow motion. You're picturing the Olympics. You know, it's an interesting thing. You only see photos or images of people running who are professional. You see Walter Payton turn the corner. So when you get the ball and turn the corner playing a little pickup game at the park, you think you're running like Sweetness. You don't look anything like it. You see guys in the Olympics running. You see the athletes and the actors and Steve Austin, all that stuff. But when you're running, you look nothing like that. You have no idea what you look like. I'd like to have you run behind my van with the mirror in it and really straighten out.
They do have mirrors across from the treadmill at the gym, and it's horrible.
Yeah, but it's a simulated thing, that kind of running. People sort of suck their form in a little bit when they're on the simulated road. When they hit the road, it's crazy. And there's some people whose form is so effed up, you think, how could they make it a block with one foot facing out at 3:03 on the clock and the other one at high noon? How's it doing it? But yet, they keep going, sort of like the Special Olympics. All right, now, our new permanent news girl, Teresa Strasser. With the news.
I'm glad to have made it to my second day. When it comes to their brains, lesbians and straight men have something in common. Both find female pheromones more attractive than male pheromones, this according to a Swedish study published today. The information adds credibility to the idea that homosexuality is more nature than nurture.
Right. So that's good. I mean, that's what they're looking for. They want it to be not a decision, because you can't get blamed. You get blamed for a decision, but you don't get blamed. You're just born that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a birth defect. Look at homosexuality as a birth defect. Bill? Pre-op, board-op, Bill?
Yeah?
Yeah, explain to your family you have a birth defect.
Can I get money for it?
Yes. Right. You're born with a penis in your mouth.
Or like being left-handed. You might have a genetic predisposition.
That's right.
In entertainment news, veteran 60 Minutes correspondent...
To use your left hand to put down your boyfriend's pants. Yes. Left-handed.
Veteran 60 Minutes correspondent Mike Wallace has signed on for 4 more years, meaning his contract will end when he is 92.
So he's 88.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell how old everyone is on that show because everyone has been old since I started watching it 25 years ago.
Yeah, Mike Wallace was old then.
When I was in high school, he was an old man. Now he's just an old, he's still an old man. He's perpetually old. The show is still great.
It's still
I watch
great.
It every week.
Yeah, and another addition, Anderson Cooper will be contributing 5 stories a year to the popular CBS News magazine. Are you a fan of his?
I don't know his. I see his image all over the place, but I haven't heard his work that much.
He's good. He's hardcore.
He's hardcore. Also, there's a female correspondent that pops up on that show every once in a while when they go to Iraq or something. That's a foxy chick.
Not Christiane Amanpour.
No, she's not. She's not foxy.
I think she is foxy.
So I don't know. You know, I don't think she is. Maybe we should ask the referees to take a look. No, Dave says no. He's not ready.
No.
Uh oh. Uh oh. Should they go?
Should they move on?
So wait a second.
They're
so
going
the
under the hood.
Are conferring.
They're going under the hood.
Field. They are going under the hood, eh?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen here?
Well, the ruling on the field is that Christiane
Amanpour is hot.
Is hot. I say she's not. Let's
the referee
see.
Called it as not hot, though. He's coming out from under the hood now. Mm-hmm. Here's his answer.
After further review, the ruling on the field is reversed.
Oh, Amanpour is not hot.
Not hot. Sorry.
I agree with that.
Yes, and by the way, you lose a timeout.
Oh, man. On Access Hollywood last night, Nick Lachey said he still wants his ex, Jessica Simpson, to be happy.
Great ploy. Yes.
Listen to how full of gravitas.
Mm. You know, there's real love there. There always will be. I can't say what what I think the future holds or what I'd want. I can honestly say with 100% sincerity, I want us both to be happy. And however that happens, then that's the way it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it is a great ploy for a guy. Because he's sitting there just eating his heart out, and my wife's watching going, you know, we should set him, oh, please, we should set him up with who? Point is when a guy breaks up with a woman and then just goes on a sex spree, women can't stand it. Though there's plenty of people for them to hump, but the ladies at home can't stand it. But when a guy is pouring his heart out that way, women melt.
I just read this morning that he's making time with Petra Nemkova.
They were seen at the Kentucky Derby together over the weekend. But
right,
they were
she's the one
together.
In the tsunami.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend got killed in the tsunami.
That was the best thing that ever happened to her career.
You want to talk about rolling over in a grave. The guy was killed trying to save her in a tsunami. She clung to a tree with a broken hip for 20 hours, and now Nick Lachey's on top of her. Ugh, that guy just must be doing cartwheels, Brody's in his grave.
Well, by the way,
yes.
On the other side of relationships, you know, Tori Spelling is hitched now, and her fella who was in here with her a few weeks back, you know, he had the tattoos and everything of her.
Yeah.
He also had his ring design. Did you see the ring?
Yeah.
It says Tori all the way around it, and it is in every direction, north, south, east, and west, so that whoever sees the ring, no matter what angle they see it from, they can read Tori.
They don't want it to say, I rot.
Well, just in case they can't make out the gigantic portrait of Tori Spelling and her bosoms that he's got on his left
hand. I'm the opposite. Mine's flesh-colored, and I always wear a glove on my left hand,
too,
just to play extra safe.
A Pennsylvania mom has a strict policy with her 13-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
He may not smoke pot until his homework is done.
Yeah.
According to court documents, the mother and son have been smoking marijuana together since he was 11. Now the mother is being charged with drug possession and corruption of a minor, among other charges.
Mm-hmm. Now, how old is the kid now?
13.
13. And he's smoking the weed. That's the incentive. Yeah, I don't agree with that. But on the other hand, playing Xbox or watching 9 hours of TV when your homework's done probably rots your brain just as much, right?
Well, if the kid's going to smoke pot, maybe it's safer for him to do it at home.
Yeah.
You know. So maybe it's not that bad parenting.
Yeah, my mom was that way, except for it was with amyl poppers.
None after of those, your homework.
You finish your math homework, then you can do an amyl popper. There were Flintstone amyl poppers. They were for kids. It was a different time. We didn't know. Jeff?
Yeah.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, I just wanted to let Teresa Strauss know that I voted for her.
Hold on. Your phone was breaking up. You think she sucks?
No!
All right. Thank you.
He said no!
I thought that's what I heard him say. Let's move forward. Move forward with the news.
That
don't listen to him.
All of my fan calling in.
All right, let's
thank
see.
Thank you for voting for me. I truly,
Jeff,
truly appreciate it.
Yeah.
You good? What
yeah.
do you want to say about Teresa?
I just wanted to say that I voted for her. I kept calling in saying, hey, where is she? Can we get her back? I also want to know if she did with Rachel Perry's body. Maybe it hasn't completely decomposed.
No. Thank you. All right. On that happy note, continue.
Okay. A lower back tattoo may be sexy, but researchers at UC San Diego are concerned that such tattoos may cause trouble during childbirth. See, doctors inject a local anesthetic into women through their lower back, but an injection through a tattoo could actually transmit poisonous pigments into her tissue, causing infection. So I hope your wife doesn't have the lower back.
Well, how about the psychological damage when the five-year-old has to see mom in the kitchen bend over to get something and sees the Aerosmith logo on her ass? I mean, that's going to freak out a toddler, right?
Yeah, that's the sign of a whore and the what's it called? The barbed wire.
Yeah.
Tribal
stripper.
Nonsense around the bicep of a fella is also cheeseball.
Yeah, that's so porn star. And like what about the chick with the barbed wire?
Even well, Pamela worse. Anderson has
well,
that.
Well, that's a lesbian, right?
No,
Pam Anderson has that. It's a lot of women are getting really sharp-edged. You know, they have the aggressive tats and the piercings and the barbed wire and stuff. It's like humping a bear trap. I don't like that. A super tan bear trap. Soften up, ladies. Always. I like a little bosom and a little ass and a lady.
Always good in the, I think, as we've discussed, in the pornos that are period pieces. You know, they're made to look like an ivory merchant picture, except that when she gets nude, she has an Aerosmith ass tattoo.
Yes.
It's anachronistic porno is just not going to turn you on.
Yeah, it's always great when there's the thong body tan line on the ass and the barbed wire tat, and it's supposed to take place in ancient Rome.
Tonight on American Idol, the remaining finalists take on the songs of Elvis Presley. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
So it's day two now. Brian working the board while Mike Lynch goes off
day
on
three.
His honeymoon. Day three.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing an excellent job.
I'm trying to do my best, you know, under really difficult circumstances.
By saying day two, I thought I was letting him off the hook.
Oh, I see, yeah. No, it's day three.
No, that's a shame. Also a shame.
It really is.
For L.A. basketball fans, the outcome of the ball game last night in the Valley of the Suns. It was game one between the Clips and the Suns. Phoenix took it 130-123. Clips led it at the half. They shot 60% for the game. Still figured out some a way to lose it. Elton Brand went for 40. MVP Steve Nash, though, went for 31. And, as I say, got the win and was assisted by the Dunking Gorilla, scoring 17. We got to get to the bottom of that. The Dunking Gorilla in Phoenix. They're not indigenous to Arizona, as far as I know.
No.
And also the racial overtones.
Yes, right, there's not there's no white person on that court, and then at halftime you bring out a gorilla to dunk a basketball. Yes.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Someone please, if you can show us if you can enlighten us what this story is.
Well, I say he's the greatest athlete in sports right now.
He certainly is. Somersaults. I haven't seen Michael Jordan do a somersault.
Listen, when you're in a gorilla outfit, you're hard pressed to smoke a cigarette or scratch your ass, much less sprint across a court, hit a mini tramp, and do a five slam a jamma.
Amen.
It's an amazing athlete.
Right. And speaking of the animals, we were talking about the Kentucky Derby horses and the how appropriate it is that a good name for a thoroughbred is also a good name for the Wang.
Yeah.
And so I was looking into it, some of the great names of horses in history that might also suit your Wang. How about this one? Bold Ruler.
Bold Ruler would be a good name.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
War Admiral.
That's
you mean business.
Too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look no further. This is the list you use to name your dork.
Yes. Good and Plenty.
Solid.
That's good.
Not good. Tawee.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that one.
No.
Tawee. But, and I said, you know, well, Majestic Prince is dynamite, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister Minister.
Yeah, strong.
Fantastic. But I have to say, Pompeii.
Mm-hmm. Evokes volcanoes, eruption.
Yeah, prematurely in my case, but yeah.
How about this one? This
still
this
thousands one? Of villagers frozen in time. Fleeing.
I don't know why. This one is, to me, this is the best. It's an underdog, but to me, it is the best of the best. Smarty Jones.
Yeah, good name. Good name for the dork. As my grandfather used to say, good for the wang, good for the stang. This is what
he
meant.
He's the one who first said that.
All those years, I didn't know what he meant. Good for the wang, good for the stang. But he was talking about Mustang and penis, yes.
And lastly, I would be remiss if I did not mention the Stanley Cup playoffs last night. The San Jose Sharks topped Edmonton. They are now up 2-0 in their series. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks up 2-0 in theirs. We are hurtling ever closer to a Ducks versus Sharks conference finals. It would be Temu versus Chichu.
Temu, Chichu!
Chichu versus Temu. A dream realized. Heaven on earth. Chichu. Temu, Chichu and Temu, that's the way it should be.
Dave is beaming right now.
Chichu, Temu.
He looks like a father watching his retarded son hit a ball off a tee.
Play hockey.
You've never seen so much pride in your life. We'll play this
beautiful.
At your funeral.
If this is my greatest achievement in life, so be it.
Oh, it is.
You're killing.
By quite a margin. Brian?
Yeah?
You know why they used the gorilla?
Yeah. Back in the, when the Sun started back in like the 60s, that some fan in the front row got a singing telegram from some guy who showed up in a gorilla costume, and he was causing all the fans over in that section to kind of get, you know, excited. So the owner of the team at the time decided to hire the guy on as a mascot.
Right. And then it turned into the dunking gorilla. But it was originally, and I don't know if you could do that today, could you? Could you imagine you're over at the Staples Center watching a game and I send over a singing telegram, a guy in a giant hot dog outfit or something? You couldn't walk in anymore, could you? I would just assume you're loaded with TNT.
Oh, yeah, trying to sneak in.
Yeah, all right. Good times. A simpler
time. Well, that's good. At least we've learned that there's no racial origin to that.
Right. And the other thing we learned, the more you know, good for the wang, good for the stang.
Yep.
We've learned
like
a lot.
I
learned that, too.
Need to play the song again?
No. That's fine.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Super funny comedian and dear, dear, dear friend, Kathy Griffin, is coming in next. She'll dish the dirt. Good to see you, sweetie pie. We'll be right back with her after this.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Let me explain the genius of Gene Simmons, not only in the marketing of Kiss, but the marketing of his own testicles. He's announced to the world, this is who I am, this is how I work.
Every woman complains that none of the guys tell her the truth. So you should look into the eyes of your beloved and say, I desire you with every inch of my being, but I want your mommy and your sister too. As long as you get that out of the way, then you're fine.
Yeah, smart.
Adam, my friends, will never run out of opinions.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
KUFO.
To rehab. And all these celebrities were giving him messages of hope on all the shows. And one after another, they'd look in the camera and they'd be so earnest. And they would say, Ben, you are so brave. Thank you, Ben, for your bravery. This is the bravest thing I've ever seen. Ben, you're the bravest person I've ever known. Good for you, Ben. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. We've lost over 2,000 of our own in Iraq, but Ben Affleck going to rehab is the bravest thing you've ever heard of. Brave, 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 brave.
Kathy Griffin in studio. Dear, dear friend, Kathy Griffin, welcome
Hello,
to the show.
Hello, dear friend.
Kathy Griffin, strong black woman tonight, 9 o'clock on Bravo.
That's right.
TiVo's already preset. My Life on the D-List, second season starts June 6th, 9 o'clock on Bravo as well. Mm-hmm. We were talking off the air. You said Ryan Seacrest hung up on you yesterday.
I was calling into the Seacrest show because I have added a second night to my Will Turn shows. Mm-hmm. So those go on sale on Saturday, and so I'm going to do the Will Turn July 14th and 15th. Mm-hmm. And I was invited to go on the Seacrest show, which I was very happy about. I said, okay, let's make nice. And he ended up hanging up on me.
Why?
He hung up on me because I guess I offended him. But he was asking me questions, and I think he may have had an agenda, which was to take me down on his own turf.
Uh-huh.
But I was being nice, and then kind of arbitrarily, he was asking me about, you know, my sex life and my plastic surgery and trying to be the provocateur that we know Ryan Seacrest to be.
Yeah.
Right.
And
button pusher.
Yeah, exactly. And then I asked him about
Fudge Packer.
I did not.
I'm sorry. It was like one of those free association things. You said button pusher.
It was like a Rorschach. We can't blame you for it.
No. It's you show me, you scream out button pusher, I scream out fudge packer. That's just how my mind works.
So I asked him about Terry Hatcher, and he said, I can't talk about that. Mm. And then I said, I saw her on Oprah talking about how you called her and said, I can't do this with you. And I said, Ryan, how could you do that to poor Terry? She's been through so much.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I saw her on Access Hollywood crying in her kitchen.
Yeah, she used to sit on the floor
and
cry while she baked.
And she showed Nancy O'Dell exactly where in her kitchen she sits on the floor and cries.
Recreation.
Yeah, and then he said, I will not let you be mean to my friend. Goodbye. And hung up the phone.
Wow.
He almost said good day, sir, but he didn't.
I said good day,
sir.
Yeah.
Well, I said good day.
Nice job, Bri. Let me ask you this about that, because some have speculated that his camp may have called the paparazzi that took the famous picture of him kissing Terry Hatcher and then broke up with her the next day.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I think that'd be a smart camp.
Yes.
Because nobody, even Oprah, sat there looking at a gently crying Terry Hatcher, which she's kind of made a second career out of crying.
Yeah.
She really has,
A lot of crying and vulnerability and...
Woo-hoo over the burnt toast.
She does not like burnt toast, let me tell you that.
I learned that
she
on
She likes
Oprah.
It not what? Very that crispy.
What do you think about this as far as a class action lawsuit goes? I know a lot of the people who were formerly molested by the weirdo uncle or stepdad, like Oprah and Terry Hatcher, and the list goes on, especially in Hollywood. They have an axe to grind with these people.
Yeah.
I have an axe to grind with them, too. They created Terry Hatcher and Oprah, and now we have to live with them.
Now, who are you naming? And who's
all
gonna,
of America.
All of America is suing Terry Hatcher?
No, really? We're suing her pedophile uncle.
Oh, okay. Right.
Because I now have to watch Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, watch Terry...
The Kitchen.
Watch her crying on The Kitchen. I should be watching Terry Bradshaw, but I'm watching Terry Hatcher explain she cries while she bakes.
You have to sue Seacrest as well, because he is also making her cry on the kitchen floor.
Right.
And where does it end?
I'll name him in the suit, too.
All right, so it's Terry Hatcher's uncle, Ryan Seacrest.
That's
and
right.
And who else?
It's a class action suit now.
Oprah.
What Oprah was molested, and now I have to hear her for 5 hours a day. I'm just saying, when you're not molested, you don't talk, and when you're molested, yep.
Well, here is some possibly
You do the
great
math
news.
On the Ace Man, by
if
the way.
If you believe page 6, here's the breaking news. I've just received it. Star Jones is out of The View.
Really?
Yeah, but...
Actually, that's not good news. Actually, Star versus Rosie would have been dynamite.
Yeah, that would have been great.
I heard that
Oprah's friend, Gail. That's right. That's what it says here.
I love that. Although I'm probably screwed because Oprah doesn't like me, but I love Gail, and I feel that she is my friend in the way that Oprah feels that she is her friend. In other words, I feel if she's Oprah's friend, she's my friend.
She's not.
Right.
What?
She's not your friend.
Gail's my friend. She cares about me.
Kathy is a strong black woman.
She
shouldn't be telling
She'd
her
what other if she had the chance.
Strong black women she hangs out with. So are you watching the Idol, the American Idol?
I, of course, love the juggernaut that is Idol. And I have a little like blackout every time Seacrest is on.
Mm-hmm.
Like a recovered memory. I cry in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I hang up on myself. And then I move on with the show. But yeah, I do love it.
I counted Paula Abdul's words last episode because I'm now obsessed with her having the easiest job in Hollywood. I mean, here's the deal. All celebrities are overcompensated, but Kathy Griffin, who's going to do 2 shows at the Wiltern, has to put together 90 minutes of funny and then take the stage and then deliver 90 minutes of funny. She's not getting paid for the 90 minutes. She's getting paid for the 5 years it took her to compile the 90 minutes of funny and not getting as paid as much as Paula Abdul, who when they go to her says things like I don't know, I just don't know.
It's just great. It's energy and you look
beautiful.
Yeah.
You look great. Stunning earring. Your earring is great.
And then once in a while she punches Simon in the shoulder and that's it. $6 million.
Like when she collapses either into uncontrollable laughter or tears.
Well, that's true.
And cannot verbalize sometimes.
I'm just saying, could you imagine a gig where you get $5-6 million dollars a year? And it, we say a year, but it's 4 or 5 months out of the year. It's not the year. It's less than half a year.
And she doesn't even always show up for the audition cities.
Doesn't show up.
And we went to Detroit, the Motor City. Paula had a head cold. She's not even always at the audition.
But your job is to sit at a folding table and keep the Coke
from
label
Costco.
Out
it's
toward the
Costco
camera.
Table and
just,
the Coke glass.
You sip a Diet Coke and say you weren't feeling it.
Yeah.
And that's it. $6 million
Or they do a lot of, I don't know what's going on today.
Yeah.
Ooh. Randy and Simon do a lot of that. I don't know what's going on today. I don't know, but.
Bad day.
Yeah.
I say that Simon is hailed as the sort of genius of the group because he's bookended by two knobs.
But I love Simon, though. I really do want to hear what he has to say.
Me too.
I hate when they cut him off.
Me too.
I like Simon, too, and I like Randy as well. But Randy, here's the whole deal. If you had Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul to your left and your right, you would seem like a genius auctioneer.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you keep Dave and I here?
That's right. I mean, no. I mean, sorry. All right, we need to take a break. Kathy Griffin is here. She's going to be dishing more dirt.
Can we please go to the website after this?
Yes, okay. KathyGriffin.net.
Yes.
With a K, by the way.
You have to go on the message boards, which are basically a gay dating service.
Yes, Kathy has a gay army, which I've been hip to for many, many years. The gays love Kathy.
Oh, I love them.
You know, I'll tell you what, you're sassy, you're brassy,
you're
ballsy, and you have red hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the things the gays worship.
The formula.
And also kind of an outsider.
Right. Outsider looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm fighting the man.
That's right.
That's
fighting
right. The good fight.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with Kathy Griffin after this.
Want to talk to Adam? Call him at 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, this is Peter Griffin, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's about as good as it gets. Almost as good as hot Asian chicks.
Adam, my friends, will never
run out of opinions.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
KUFO.
Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 22, from James Bond, as 007.
Bong. Yes, bong.
Yes, Bond. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, my God, my name's the only name you can't pronounce. Or isn't, I should say. Kathy Griffin in studio.
Hello, everybody.
KathyGriffin.net is where you go if you're gay or maybe you're just bi curious.
The message boards on my website are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
It's supposed to be, you know, fans of mine discussing my work. No, it's gay guys just hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, Kathy's great. Anyway, I live on Hayworth. And if anybody wants to have the coffee bean in WeHo, call me.
Yeah, it's really like one of those Vegas tech conventions that turns into a big porn convention that's now been taken
over. But now I'm pretty honored. The guy is now posting on my website, John Paulus, the guy who allegedly had a one-nighter with Clay, former Navy SEAL, went on shows, described it in detail. I believe described Clay as an aggressive top.
Wow.
I believe so. You never know with the gays. You don't know who's the top, who's the bottom.
I'm an apathetic middle.
Oh, Adam.
Yes.
You wouldn't make it as a gay for
just
2 seconds.
Do with me what you will, fellas.
He wouldn't make it as a gay, but let me tell you something. When there's some delicious coffee cake outside, he just said, oh, I can't have any. I'm dieting. And was serious.
Adam.
What gives?
I'll explain.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
All right, so if you go to the website, you'll see the gay marine.
That Clay Aiken was allegedly.
and Clay was allegedly hooked up with.
Yeah, yeah. And those are the type of people that come to my website.
Kathy Griffin, by the way, strong black woman. Great name, great title. Tonight, 9 o'clock on Bravo, and then a much anticipated second season of My Life on the D-List.
Yes.
Also coming up, Bravo, June 6th, 9 o'clock. Hey, can we do a little free association with
you
here?
Yes, you know, I love it.
I have a few celebrity names.
Okay.
I think I'll just shout them out. And free your mind. Shake it like an Etch-a-Sketch. Have it be clear and pristine. I'll shout out a few names. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
Crazy. But what I love is that he's so crazy that the gays don't want him anymore.
Wow.
That's how the gays are. When they turn, it's ugly. But they wanted him all those years, and now they've all moved on to Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
and
interesting.
He's just too nuts. They can't deal with his crazy
anymore.
It's
like being thrown out of a biker gang for being too violent.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
So Cruz out of the gays.
He's out.
All right. How about Denise Richards?
Apparently, not unlike Kevin Federline, is able to have a baby once a week. She can't stop having children. And also, Richie Sambora, who's, let's face it, he's the friend. He's not even John Bon Jovi. He's the friend.
Yeah. I'm starting to wonder if her mind isn't all there. Doesn't she have a sort of vacant, thousand-yard stare when she's talking?
Yeah.
She seems nuts,
but that
right?
is apparently Richie Sambora's dream. I guess Locklear was too much of a genius for him to handle, and he had to move on to more vacant.
Yeah, you go with an intellectual, I go for beauty.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen, speaking of Denise.
Wouldn't you be afraid to even be in the same room with him without wearing a hazmat? Like, he's got to be carrying viruses, exotic strains.
You feel like a 30-pound crab could leap from his groin and wrestle you to the ground. Yeah. And again, being an apathetic middle, that crowd would get me into a submissive pose. I'd be trying to tap out like I was in the octagon within seconds.
By the way, when you refer to yourself as an apathetic middle, I also like that you constantly say guys. Like, you're in the middle of a five-way. So not only are you gay, but you're an apathetic middle, and you're saying guys. Like, it's a room full of gay guys. How many are you taking on?
I need a gaggle of gays, otherwise the pants stay on.
Ouch!
The doctors don't drop unless I see at least eight set elbows in the room.
Snap, snap.
That's my proclamation.
Easy, Al Reynolds.
All right, let's see.
Nice.
How about Whitney Houston?
Oh, Cracky McCrackerson.
Yes.
And I would like her to clean that sticky wig. She's got that one sticky wig that she wears. She wears it at the pool when she's sweating. She wears it when they go out to dinner and she's doing her crack. It's too cracky.
Yeah.
So you have to shake the crack out of your wig once a week.
It's like she made it in a cotton candy machine.
Yeah. And you know she sold all her good, you know, the bodyguard wigs for crack.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Underweight women usually don't sweat profusely unless there's something in their system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they then... Here's the thing, too. I now sweat profusely. I've lost 30 pounds. And I'm insane, but I'm not doing drugs.
No, crack is whack.
I totally agree. Kathy Griffin, you're whack in my book. We're out of time. KathyGriffin.net is where you go.
Second
if you're
night at it at the Wiltern. Come see me. Tickets go on sale Saturday for the second night, or you can get tickets for the first night.
That's right. Kathy Griffin, strong black woman on tonight, by the way. Bravo, 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. I want to thank Joel Heisinger coming in here from No Lie. MRI, Dave Attell, Def Frat Guy, the aforementioned Kathy Griffin, and IE Coffee for providing our delicious coffee cake and coffee. IECoffee.com. That's the website.
Don't forget HollywoodImprov.com, too, for the big show tomorrow night.
That's right. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.